started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits, Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is NEN, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. Broadcasting from Humidor 1A in the cigar city of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show. Your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
It is a very significant weekend. Monday is Memorial Day. Memorial Day weekend. Everybody thinks it's the unofficial start of summer, which it really is. But too many people forget the true meaning of Memorial Day. Remembering those men and women that laid down their lives for us. Remembering those men and women who are no longer with us that did put their life on the line over the nation's 200-plus year history. We don't say Happy Memorial Day on the Cigar Dave Show. We observe Memorial Day. I am so offended when I see these Happy Memorial Day sales. We remember and observe Memorial Day properly. We shall do it today, once again, on the Cigar Dave Show. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute, Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again, again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the Chinese Communist Party and screw the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. As always, it is your global five-star general and Alpha male in chief. Today coming to you from a classified location, we have moved Command Center Alpha in anticipation of this Memorial Day weekend. Now, I should tell you that our Memorial Day tradition the last 5 years has been to conduct Memorial Day broadcast maneuvers from the Bad Monkey Military Bar in Ybor City, the traditional and historic cigar-making area of the cigar city of Tampa. The owner of the Bad Monkey is retired General Dave Scott. He was in charge of MacDill Air Force Base for many years, stayed in Tampa after he retired, opened up the Bad Monkey. It is a phenomenal place with incredible military memorabilia, military theme. And every year, the week before Memorial Day, the SOFIC conference, the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference, takes place in the cigar city of Tampa. And we have access to incredible guests who are in Tampa for the week for the conference and the convention, displaying their wares, dealing with members of the military, MacDill Air Force Base, Southern Command, all the various special commands that are within the country. They all converge on Tampa. And we have had some absolutely phenomenal, spectacular guests. Now, this year, the SOFIC conference was canceled because of the CCP Wuhan virus. So we will not be conducting our normal broadcast maneuvers from the Bad Monkey, but that will not stop us from replaying some incredible interviews that we have completed over the last 5 years from the Bad Monkey during the SOFIC conference. We've got an incredible lineup of guests that I want to share with you. We will talk with General Dave Scott, well-known member of the Tampa community, retired as the General MacDill Air Force Base. As I said, he is the proprietor of the Bad Monkey Military Bar in Ybor City. Scotty Neal, who is one of the first horse soldiers to go into Afghanistan, came back. Not only did he defend the American dream, he is now living the American dream as an incredible entrepreneur with his horse soldier bourbon. There's about 10 retired military men that are involved with that venture and his partners. He's been a frequent guest. We'll talk with him. We'll talk with Rear Admiral Brian Losey, who at the time was the Rear Admiral in charge of the Navy Special Warfare Command, the Navy SEALs. Incredible man, incredible conversation, loves cigars. And finally, Dr. Jim Mitchell, a name you've probably seen him on Fox News many times and some of the other network newscasts. He was the chief interrogator working for the CIA as an advisor, interrogating many terrorists down at Gitmo, Guantanamo Bay, including KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And for the first time ever on broadcast radio, we will play additional excerpts from an interview we conducted. He was so interesting, we didn't have time to get all of our conversation in to our broadcast at the time, which I think was 2 or 3 years ago. We did a special podcast. We are going to play today excerpts from that podcast. Dr. Jim Mitchell, absolutely incredible. So today on this Memorial Day, we will look back over the last 5 years at some incredible guests. And we pay proper tribute to the men and women of our military. And I remind you once again, do not say Happy Memorial Day. It is observing Memorial Day. And on Monday, please stop at noon or any time. Just reflect for a few minutes. Those men and women who gave their lives, who couldn't come back and play golf and go to the beach and have a picnic, and who left a giant void in their family and friends' lives. And I remind you that every day there are 22 veterans that commit suicide per day in this country. We should not forget them. We should assist them. Let's get that number down. So on this Memorial Day, we will start it appropriately. First, the Pledge of Allegiance with the great John Wayne, followed by the national anthem, Whitney Houston, one of the great renditions ever at the Super Bowl 25 in Tampa, and finally, Taps.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
On this Memorial Day weekend, may all those men and women who served and paid the ultimate price no longer with us, may they rest in peace, and may their memories live eternal. I would like to welcome to our Cigar Dave Show microphones a very special friend of the Cigar Dave Show, Major General Dave Scott, United States Air Force retired, also the owner-proprietor of the Bad Monkey. And General Scott, once again, many thanks for your wonderful hospitality and assisting us in lining up some truly great guests that we can share with our audience.
Thanks, Dave. We love having you here. This is, what, their fifth or sixth year?
Fifth or sixth, yeah.
It's always, I'm sitting here listening to the preamble to your show. It just makes me feel good. You set the right tone. So it's our honor to have you here in Ybor City at the Bad Monkey.
Well, we appreciate it. And we've also got Lieutenant Colonel Rob Schaefer, a Green Beret. I don't say former Green Beret, because once you're a Green Beret, you're always a Green Beret. And one of the owners of Horse Soldier Bourbon. And amongst the first, I think the first to lead. Now, Robert Mueller, if you're listening, stay down. Stand down. The first to lead Russian troops into war, into the war on terror.
The first U.S. officer in history to ever lead Russian troops in combat operations, yes.
Talk about that. That is fascinating.
So when, if you remember back during Kosovo and British general, I can't remember his name right now, but there was a British general, three star.
Not Montgomery, that was WW2.
Right. But he, Wesley Clark at the time, who was the NATO Supreme Commander,
right,
after the Russians seized, the Russians were in Bosnia at the time. They made a lightning move into Kosovo. They seized the airport at Pristina. And General Wesley Clark told the British general, Jackson, that he wanted him to go in and kick the Russians out of that airport. And General Jackson said, I'm not going to start World War III for you. And instead, they sent me and my Special Forces team over there essentially to handle the Russians. And so we got the sector, which was called Kamenica at the time, and it was right on the border of Serbia. And at that time, the KLA, the folks over there called it the UCK. They were constantly attacking still, and when the Russians moved in, they thought to themselves, well, you know, this is just kind of the same thing as the Bosnians, because the Russians moved in there, they seized that airport to get a place at the table so that they could have a say in what happened in that international conflict. So the locals at the time, they had no idea what the Russians were going to do. All they knew was that the Russians were the bad guys. But our job there was to establish peace, was to make this dangerous area into a very peaceful place again. So even though it was not technically a combat area, we were still the first Special Forces team in history to ever fire artillery in support of Russian troops, and the first unit since World War II to have done so. And at some point or another, we established a rapport with the Russians, because we pressed upon them the idea that the most important thing was making sure that we established peace, that when we finally got some good intelligence from our side, I was able to go to that Russian commander and say to him, I can't tell you everything, sir, but I'd like to have 150 of your troops tomorrow. I'd like them all to be in this place. I'm going to send two of my Green Berets with each of your groups. We're going to set up corridors, and we're going to take down, and we took down 12 objectives all at the same time. There was a lot of fighting. There were many nights there where we would go out with the Russian troops. They'd be in a BTR in front of us.
And what's a BTR?
BTR is it's one of their infantry carriers. It's an armored infantry carrier, okay, as it is, with kind of like a tank, like we have Bradley's, same right, kind of thing. So they have a BTR-80 in front, a BTR-80 in the back, and we'd be in an unarmored Humvee in the middle, and we'd have our night vision goggles on. You could watch the tracers bouncing off the front BTR. You could watch the tracers, the bullets. When I say tracers, when you're firing machine guns, you've got bunch of normal bullets, and then you have a tracer, which is coated with phosphorus, so you can kind of see where you're aiming it. So when you see a lot of tracers coming down range, you're only seeing like one out of four, one out of five bullets. So you'd see the tracers knowing that there were a lot of bullets bouncing off the vehicle right in front of us, right in the vehicle behind us, and nobody had ever aimed for us. But that was the kind of thing that we were in right there. So we established a great rapport with the Russians, and then they essentially let us lead operations. And at the time, of course, nobody knew there were Green Berets or Special Operations Forces in Kosovo, so they got all the credit for it. And then, of course, they looked like heroes, and once you do something like that, then it was Katie bar the door. It was pretty much anything we wanted at that point. And we took that area from being one of the highest and most dangerous places to very quickly, in just a couple of months, being a very, very safe place again.
And how was working with the Russians? Certainly must have been a little bit antagonistic at first, but obviously by the conclusion of the mission, you were all vodka drinking buddies. But what was it like at the beginning?
Part of the great thing about being a Green Beret is you spend a lot of time with people from different cultures, and we are all taught a language. To be a Green Beret, you have to be able to speak at least one language fluently. That's kind of our, you know, raison d'être. It's our reason for being there. And so having a Russian-speaking team means that we kind of already knew the culture, right? When I was a cadet, you know, I studied Russian history. I studied Russian culture. Guys on my team were really big Russian speakers as well, too. So when you go in and you're talking to them originally, they expect you to kind of be like, you know, big, tough guys. But they don't expect you to be able to, like, talk to them about Pushkin or things that really get to them right away. Like, I could sing Russian drinking songs to them better than they could. And that's because at the Defense Language Institute, at DLI, right, we have a Russian choir. Now, the word for choir in Russian is chor, right? So I was a big fan of the Ruski chor, right? So, but as crazy as it sounds, you know, then later when I was, you know, hanging out with a bunch of Russians drinking a lot of vodka, when I started singing, you know, traditional Russian songs to them,
that
you know.
Blew away, I'm sure.
Yeah, it did. And so that's how you build rapport with them. Lots of different countries have a different way of building relationships, right? So here in the United States, you know, we play golf, right? You want to do business with somebody, you go play golf or you do something else. In the Scandinavian countries, you get naked and you get in a sauna with them, right? The idea there is that everybody is the same in a sauna when you're naked and you go out and you roll in the snow and you do stupid things. But with the Russians, it's all about drinking vodka because they know that the kind of person you really are is going to come through after you've had a lot to drink. And if I ever had a superpower in my life, it was the fact that I was able to drink copious amounts of vodka and not get completely plastered. Now, it's not that they didn't try and kill me. First time I drank vodka with the Russians, I literally had alcohol poisoning the next day. But I learned very quickly not to do what Americans do at parties. Right? At an American party, what do? You stand around, you walk around, you drink, you maybe have a little, you know, hors d'oeuvre or whatever. You don't do that at a Russian party. Russian party, you sit down, the table is laden with food, and it's all really fatty food. So when you go over the first time, you think, oh, you know, I'm in great shape. I'm not going to touch that stuff. All that fatty stuff, oh, no. Man, you learn very quickly that that's the way to a quick death and alcohol poisoning.
Well, I'll tell you what, here in the U.S., I prefer just getting together for a cigar rather than getting naked in Scandinavian countries and going into a sauna. It's much safer. And also, you've made the transition just like General Dave Scott, now the owner of the Bad Monkey Military Bar. We are going to conduct the National Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony on our Memorial Day Observational Remembrance Show from the Bad Monkey Military Bar in Ybor City.
With an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy, it's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
And I welcome Yanko Maceda of Tabanero Cigars, just about three doors down here from the Bad Monkey in Ybor City, keeping the tradition of cigar, handmade cigar rolling alive here in the Cigar City of Tampa. Yanko, you gave me this Maceda. Tell me about this cigar.
Yes, sir. First, I wanted to thank you, everybody. The way you should share, it really make me feel the freedom of this great country. Thank you. Thank you very much, both of you, for the service. Well, the cigar that we have today is a Toro versus Matador. We were trying to kill that total. And it's come to a next level because we add Viso from Jalapa, so it's a little bit sweeter, but it's still a medium body cigar. And again, it's always tested through a Drop Master made in the USA by Cuban artisans, especially right here in Tampa, Florida.
And the wrapper on this?
That is Ecuadorian sun-grown.
Ecuadorian, beautiful, a nice rosado dark wrapper.
Thank you.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Actually, I grabbed a polio cutter, a single-edged guillotine, from my humidor just before I came over.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, I got this Bunsen burner from my buddies over at Alec Bradley. This is just, I'm telling you, you could roast hot dogs on this thing. Just got a big container, giant flame, big tank. That's what I would use to...
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
And as I toast the foot of this cigar, I will puff and rotate. Great draw. Nice flavor. And as we do that...
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
All right, Lieutenant Colonel Rob. Very quickly, in 20 seconds, tell me about the Horse Soldier bourbon I'm going to be enjoying here.
So this is our most recent. It is a straight bourbon, which means it's been aged at least 2 years, but we age it 3 years, and it's a higher proof. It's 87. Ooh. And as a result, it has been getting, well, here at the Bad Monkey, they just sold 17 bottles in the last week. We can't keep it in stock. It's going crazy.
A lot of sharpness, a lot of oakiness on the palate. This is definitely geared towards a medium to fuller flavored cigar. This is not for amateurs. This is not for wussified beta males. This is for USDA approved alpha males. This has got some nice octane in here. There's no question about it. General Dave Scott, Lieutenant Colonel Rob Schaefer, Green Beret, Yanko Maceda of Tabanero Cigars, we thank you. We will continue our special Memorial Day edition of the Cigar Dave Show from the Bad Monkey in Ybor City.
Memorial Day is a time to reflect for those who fought for the USA and paid the ultimate price to ensure our freedom. From all of us at the Cigar Dave Show, we remember and thank you.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
This weekend died for the freedoms we enjoy today. The Cigar Dave Show would like to remind you that Memorial Day is observed, not celebrated. So while you enjoy the holiday weekend, never forget the sacrifices our soldiers made, preserving our way of life.
Special observance of Memorial Day today on the Cigar Dave Show, and we will be joined in just a moment. We'll play an encore interview with a fascinating man that we had the opportunity to speak with about 3 years ago at the Bad Monkey, the week of the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference coinciding with Memorial Day, Dr. Jim Mitchell, psychologist hired after the 9/11 attacks, hired by the CIA to develop an interrogation program for Al-Qaeda detainees and enemy combatants. He has no love for Senator Dianne Feinstein, as you will hear. He did the interrogation of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Fascinating man. I know you'll enjoy this encore interview with Dr. Jim Mitchell. And it is my high honor and distinct pleasure to welcome a man who has written, literally written the book on enhanced interrogation. He spent, he was a contractor with the CIA, spent 22 years in the Air Force with the Air Force Special Operations Command. He has personally interrogated 16 of the top terrorists in the world, all of the 9/11 terrorists, and KSM, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, which helped us get Osama bin Laden. Jim Mitchell, who has spent many years in the armed forces, wrote the book Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. Jim, I have seen you many times on Fox News, Fox and Friends, some of the other shows. Great honor to have you with us today on this special Memorial Day observance edition.
Thank you for having me on.
Jim, let's start off first about your background before we get into the enhanced interrogation and the incredible life that you have lived in the military. Talk about your background. Where are you from? How'd you get in the armed forces?
Well, I joined the armed forces in 75 as a bomb disposal guy, you know, EOD guy. And I got interested in how terrorists think as a result of, you know, working with IEDs and working with other improvised devices, explosive devices. And I got out of the Air Force temporarily and got a PhD in clinical psychology from the University of South Florida here in Tampa.
So you were, I should call you Dr.
Jim Mitchell.
You can call me anything you want. I don't care. No. Anyway, so then I went back into the Air Force, and essentially after my internship went into special duty assignments and stayed in special duty assignments the whole way, finishing up the last 6 years as a member of one of the special tactics squadrons attached to AFSOF. So that's, and then after I got out of that, since you asked me what I had done, in August of 2001, I signed a personal services contract with the CIA. And then September the 11th happened, and then they asked me to come on board and help them with the counterterrorist center, asked me to come on board and help them with their interrogations.
Where are you from originally?
Tampa, oddly enough.
Oh, you're a Tampa. So you know all the history of cigars, and you know Ybor very well.
I grew up here.
I didn't realize that. So local boy goes into the armed forces, interrogates some of the baddest, worst terrorists in the world, and comes back home here.
Yeah, we came home to spend time with Kathy's father, my wife's father, who was in hospice. He was a Marine that was in World War II, blown up on day five of Iwo Jima, served, you know, honorably, and when he got sick, we came back here to, so he wouldn't have to go into a home.
And since we're really paying tribute to the heroes in our armed forces that are no longer with us, what was your father-in-law's name?
Leon Oakes. He was a 105 gunner, and his entire gunnery battery was killed except for him when on day five of Iwo Jima, like I said, when the Japanese lobbed a mortar into the area where they had their 105 set up.
Well, to Leon, we pay tribute to him. We remember him because we really know what the true meaning and significance of Memorial Day is, and we make sure that we spread that. And to those of you listening, as I said at the beginning of the show, we don't celebrate Memorial Day weekend. I am so offended when I see Memorial Day sales or people say Happy Memorial Day. We observe Memorial Day, and we need to do more in our schools. We should have a national, I believe, on Memorial Day for maybe 1 minute, a moment of silence at high noon, and remember all those people that served in the military, that died young on the battlefield, that remain forever young, and those that served that are no longer with us. Jim Mitchell, Dr. Jim Mitchell, our guest, is the author of the book Enhanced Interrogation. So tell us, and by the way, if I ask you anything that is sensitive or classified, just let us know. We're not 60 minutes here. We just want to try to ask questions and share the information with our alphas that listen coast to coast and around the world. So, Jim, tell us about 9-11. 9-11 occurs. You get called by the CIA.
I did. Initially, what happened is they got a hold of a resistance to interrogation manual that was based on our own special forces training. A guy by the name of Ali Muhammad, who was an officer in Special Forces, stole that manual, took it over to Al-Qaeda, to the Middle East, gave it to the terrorists, and they developed a resistance to interrogation program around that. And so what happened is when the CIA got a copy of that, they asked me and a man by the name of Dr. Bruce Jessen to take a look at the manual because we had, at that point, something like 11 years experience with teaching our own people to resist interrogation, including the folks at the very tip of the spear. And so they said, okay, if they're following the things that they say they're doing in this book, how are these guys apt to look, and how are they apt to act if they're resisting interrogation? So in March of 2002, when they caught Abu Zubaydah, they asked me to deploy with the CIA interrogation team and hook up and advised the CIA interrogators and the FBI interrogators who were questioning Abu Zubaydah. And when that didn't produce the intelligence that they needed, they eventually asked me if I would help them put together a program for interrogating Abu Zubaydah. And reluctantly, I agreed to do that. And then they asked me if I would be willing to do the interrogations myself. And as you can imagine, because I was a psychologist and not an interrogator, I was a little bit reluctant to do that. But Jose Rodriguez, who was the chief of CTC at the time, one of his lieutenants said to me, well, you've been around for 90 days. For 90 days, you've had briefing day after day after day about the threat. And we knew at that particular time that Al-Qaeda was planning a second wave of catastrophic attacks, possibly involving a nuclear weapon.
And because they knew, and I think George Tenet and both Jose Rodriguez have talked about this, they knew that Osama bin Laden had met with the Pakistani scientists that were passing out the nuclear technology to all the rogue states. And Osama bin Laden had asked that scientist, how long will it take us to develop a nuclear weapon? And the scientist said, well, the tough part is actually getting the fissionable material. And Osama bin Laden said, what if we've already got it? Ooh. And that sent shockwaves through the intelligence community. And the president said, we need to walk right up to the line of what's legal and do whatever is legal to get information. And so I agreed to help him do these interrogations, and that's when it kicked off.
And so that was your first interrogation. And, you know, we have this vision of from television and movies what an interrogation is like. Sit across from a guy at a table. You give him a pack of cigarettes. You give him a drink. You try to establish a rapport. That's in Hollywood. What's it really like sitting across from a terrorist murderer that wants to destroy our nation and our way of life?
Well, it really depends on what he does, right? I mean, the way that we did these interrogations is the very first thing we would do is something I call the neutral assessment. And that is, I would just walk in there and say, you know, this is what we want to know. You know, we want to know these kinds of things. And usually what happened, although not all the time, but usually what happened is they would say, we're not going to give you anything. Like KSM told me, I'm one of the people who questioned him initially. KSM said, we want information to stop operations inside the United States. We want to be able to stop these attacks. And he said, soon you'll know, you know. We just couldn't live with that. And so, you know, what I would say to him at that point is the next time somebody comes to talk to you, they're going to ask you these questions. If you answer these questions, then nothing rough is going to happen. If you don't answer these questions, things will get much more difficult for you. And then what we would do in the cases when they were using enhanced interrogation is we would use those enhanced interrogations to shape their cooperation. So we'd pay particular attention to when they tried to cooperate with us. And when we did, we would stop the enhanced interrogations. So that what we did was basically, it's almost like, although this is not quite accurate, it's almost like a dental phobia in the sense that if you've known anybody that's afraid of dentists, the time that they try to get away from it most is just before the next session.
Right.
Right? So what we would do is try to get those folks to start answering our questions before the next interrogation session. We would tell them what we would want to know, and then we would go in and give a neutral assessment the next time, and if they didn't, there would be a short enhanced interrogation. Then we would tell them what we're going to ask them the next time. Then we would come back and do a neutral assessment, and if they didn't answer, we would do... And eventually, they started trying to provide enough truthful information that they could stop the enhanced interrogation. And when they did that, we switched entirely to social influence. We tried to figure out what's the story this person is telling themselves about why they're doing this, and how can we frame the questions that we're asking them so that it fits naturally into this person's worldview.
Okay, so two things. When we talk about the time frame, how long from a neutral interrogation to enhanced, how long was this entire process?
Well, Abu Zubaydah was subjected to 14 days of enhanced interrogation, and then up until President Bush moved him to Guantanamo in 2006, there was another 1,609 days, I think, that he cooperated with us, more or less, right?
So 1,609, almost 4 years, 4+ years.
Yeah. Same thing with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had 21 days of enhanced interrogation. And then he had another 1,200 and something days where he was more or less. Now, he wouldn't provide any information about UBL, but he really didn't have to because in lying to us, he revealed what was most important. And I should probably address that for your listeners since I said that.
Hold that thought right there. We need to take a short time out. And I can already tell that we are going to do a special... We'll have a special bonus segment with our guest, Dr. Jim Mitchell, the author of the book, Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. Served 22 years in the United States Air Force Special Operations Command, contracted with the CIA. He interrogated 16 of the top terrorists on the American Most Wanted, all of the 9/11 terrorists, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. We will continue from the Bad Monkey, our Memorial Day observance maneuvers. honoring and paying tribute to the men and women of our armed forces on this Memorial Day edition of the Cigar Day Show.
Honoring those who gave their lives for the ideals of this great country, we proudly observe Memorial Day on the Cigar Dave Show.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
In 2020, we have been delivering fantastic cigars to all members of the Cigar Dave Officers Club. And for May, we've got a fantastic selection entitled the Rocky Patel Sampler. We're featuring two Rocky Patel Edges and a Rocky Patel Sungrown. First of all, the Rocky Patel Edge Light. It uses a magnificent Connecticut Ecuadorian shade-grown wrapper. It's a mild, mild medium cigar, creamy with a little bit of sweetness. Then the Rocky Patel Edge Corojo, fuller, more personality, bold with a wonderful Nicaraguan wrapper. And finally, the Rocky Patel Sungrown, medium in body with an Ecuadorian wrapper, Brazilian, Dominican, Nicaraguan fillers, a very balanced cigar. Become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get three cigars shipped to you in a Cigar Dave Officers Club pouch. $22.95 per month, and you get amazing cigars. Go to CigarDave.com right now, click on Officers Club, and join the Officers Club today.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In May, we're discussing how to design the perfect character and giving authors the right tools to make sure that their characters are people, not caricatures. In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing world.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
In 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. We remember all servicemen and women who paid the ultimate price serving our country. We at the Cigar Dave Show thank all who serve. And we
will never forget.
Semper Paratus, the theme of the United States Coast Guard. Memorial Day observance maneuvers from the Bad Monkey as we are here in Ybor City. Military bar owned by retired Major General David Scott of formerly the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC. The Special Operations Forces Industry Conference going on this week in the Cigar City, the home of Central Command at MacDill Air Force Base. Dr. Jim Mischel, a interrogation expert, the author of the book Enhanced Interrogation Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America, retired from 22 years of service in the Air Force. Dr. Mischel, you left off talking about the next step in interrogation, the questions, and let's pick it up from there.
Okay, I think I left off talking about KSM.
KSM, right.
There were actually five terrorists who were helpful in helping us identify the courier. There were many more than that. There were about 20, but there are five that come to mind quickly as we're sitting here. The first tip-off we got about who the courier might be came from a man by the name of Omar Baluchi, who was one of the 9/11 bombers. He was KSM's nephew, and what he said after enhanced interrogations was that there was a man called Abu Ahmed Al-Kuwaiti who was a courier for UBL, and that his uncle, KSM, had told him that that was true. Well, we go back to KSM and ask KSM about it, and KSM denies that. He says, I didn't tell him that. So we go back to Omar Baluchi and say, he says, you didn't tell you that. He goes, I don't know why he's lying, but he's lying. So what happened is the terrorists thought they had set up a secret communications channel so they could secretly communicate with each other, and they didn't know that we could monitor it, and we were monitoring it. And after KSM was asked about Abu Ahmed Al-Kuwaiti, the courier, he went into that secret communications channel and said, whatever you do, don't talk about the courier. Well, to the CIA interrogators and the analysts and the targeters, that identified that courier as somebody that was important. It may not lead to UBL, but we knew that he was an important guy. The next detainee who provided information after enhanced interrogation was a man by the name of Hassan Gul, who was a protege of KSM's. And before enhanced interrogations, what he said was, well, you know, lots of three or four people, maybe five people who are working with UBL, delivering messages. We're not sure who they are, and this guy, you know, Kuwaiti could be one of them, but who knows. After enhanced interrogations, he says, Kuwaiti is definitely the guy. He delivered this message to Abu Faraj al-Libi, appointing him KSM's replacement as the guy who's supposed to attack the West, and he does these other sorts of things for UBL. So we go to Abu Faraj al-Libi, and we ask him, and he said, oh, I never heard of a guy like that. I mean, that man doesn't exist. Well, we knew from 15 or 20 other detainees that had been questioned in other places that a lot of those people knew that guy exists, and a lot of them knew that he worked with Abu Faraj al-Libi. So those lies really highlighted the importance of this guy, Al-Kuwaiti. And then the final one that actually was very helpful was a man by the name of Abu Yasser al-Zaziri. After enhanced interrogations, he told us that this courier, Abu Ahmed al-Kuwaiti, spoke native Arabic, but he had a speech impediment. And what he would do is he would mix up Pashto words with Arabic words in random ways, and that even if you could speak both languages, you had a hard time following him because he sounded like he had a speech impediment. Well, that allowed, through technical means, for them to identify the compound where that man lived, right? And then some really brilliant CIA analysts put together all these little pieces, and they put together the program that made sure that UBL was there, and then the SEALs were able to go in and shoot him.
Let me ask you, when we define enhanced interrogation, we all think of waterboarding. What are some of the other enhanced interrogation techniques, and is there something you can't tell us? Then so be it, but give us some of the ideas of what, when we talk enhanced interrogation, define that.
Well, I list them all in my book that were approved by the Justice Department. That enhanced interrogation techniques were a limited list of things that the Justice Department approved. And in most cases, you might not even think that they were very enhanced. There was an attention grab, for example.
That's enhanced, like grabbing a guy?
Grabbing a guy up up close. There was walling, which is a technique that was used. See, what we did was we said, listen, if you guys are hell-bent on using physical coercion against Abu Zubaydah, then you ought to use the same physical coercion that the Air Force and the other militaries have been using in their resistance to interrogation tools for the last 50 years, because they're not producing any kind of injuries and no lasting mental harm. So that the CIA did its due diligence with the military organization that controls that stuff, figured out what we could do, and there were 10 of them. I can't remember them all necessarily, but there was waterboarding, which was only used on 3 people. In fact, I waterboarded almost as many lawyers as I did terrorists.
You'd be given an award for that. You should be given a Nobel Prize for that.
The last time, you know, people talk about enhanced interrogations, being close to the edge of being illegal, but it was ruled as legal by the Justice Department, not one time, but 5 times, including waterboarding. One time after I waterboarded an assistant attorney general before he made that decision. He said, I'm not going to make the decision.
So you actually had to waterboard him to prove.
I had to waterboard him.
And after that, he said, okay, fine.
A few days later, he opined that it was
He's
okay.
a brave guy.
Yeah. The other techniques that are listed in my book are walling, facial slap, like I said, the attention grasp, some stress positions, but we tended not to use those, and a couple of others. But if it's not on that list that was approved by the Justice Department, and there were many things that were done to detainees that Bruce and I didn't do that were not on that list, it's not an enhanced interrogation technique. It's just something some guy made up on the spot, which he shouldn't have done.
Well, just the mere fact when you stated that Osama bin Laden stated, well, what if we already have the nuclear material to make a nuclear weapon? I guarantee you that sent shockwaves to every one of our alphas and lieutenants that are listening, without question. We will have more fascinating conversation with Dr. Jim Mitchell, interrogated Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, after the 9/11 attacks. In the next hour, we'll also be joined by Rear Admiral Brian Losey, who at the time was in charge of the Navy Special Warfare Command and Navy SEALs. It is a special encore amalgamation of our interviews over the last 5 years from the Bad Monkey Military Bar in the Cigar City of Tampa. And it coincides with not only Memorial Day, but the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference. For the last 5 years, we've conducted our Memorial Day observance with incredible guests. Stand by, because we have much more coming your way in the next hour. Hour two of this special Memorial Day observance of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
Hour one of the Cigar Dave Show is now complete. There's time to refresh your cocktail, as the General will return in 7 minutes.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Dave Show.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The White House Coronavirus Task Force is encouraging Americans to get outside this Memorial Day weekend as long as they stay safe.
Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Burke says people can enjoy the outdoors but must remain socially distant.
You can go to the beaches if you stay 6 feet apart, but remember that that is your space, and that's a space that you need to protect and ensure that you're social distance for others.
Burks reminds the public that many Americans are carrying the coronavirus and don't know it. And she says the greater Washington, D.C. area has the country's highest positivity rate. Greg Clugston, Washington.
New York State's death toll has... St- dipped below 100 for the first time since March, and the news comes as other states are beginning to see a spike in cases.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says 84 people died Friday from the coronavirus.
For me, it's just a sign that we're making real progress, and I feel good about that.
While that brings the death toll to more than 2,300, Cuomo says two more regions, Mid-Hudson and Long Island, are on track to reopen this week, something he attributes to New Yorkers' diligence in social distancing and mask wearing.
You look at the New York curve, you look at how low it is, you look at the number of deaths, you look at the decline. Compare that with the rest of the nation, where you still see the rest of the nation's curve going up.
L.A., D.C., and Chicago remain persistent COVID hotspots, according to the White House Task Force. I'm Julie Walker.
Joe Biden won the presidential primary in Hawaii, the results announced earlier today. The party-run primary was delayed by more than a month because of the coronavirus. In-person voting was canceled, and additional ballots were sent out for an all-mail-in voting system. Biden now has about 1,566 delegates for the party's national convention. He needs 1,991 to win the nomination. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I've come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking Relief Factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable. To be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
Authorities say seven people appear to have been infected with a coronavirus at a restaurant in northwestern Germany in what would be the first known such case since restaurants started reopening in that country 2 weeks ago.
Local government in Lear County said Friday night that the cases reported between Tuesday and Friday led to at least 50 people being quarantined. Previously, no new cases had been confirmed in the area for over a week. Germany started loosening its coronavirus restrictions on April 20th, and that process has gathered pace recently. Lower Saxony State, where Lear is located, allowed restaurants to reopen May 11th with hygiene precautions. Patrick Foss reporting.
Around 13,000 cardboard cutouts helped fill the stands at a key soccer match in Germany today. Fans took pictures at home, then paid for a cardboard cutout to be placed in the stands at the Bundesliga game in Dusseldorf. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Some retail stores are beginning to reopen their doors.
Bed Bath & Beyond plans to reopen about 600 additional stores within 3 weeks and bring back 11,000 furloughed workers. The vast majority will be Bed Bath & Beyond locations, but it's also opening dozens of its Christmas tree shop stores and Cost Plus World Market stores. Its Bye Bye Baby and Harm & Face value stores have remained open because they provide essential goods. Keith Peters, Washington.
IBM's laying off an undisclosed number of workers across the country. Armonk, New York company reporting a 3.4% revenue decline in the January through March quarter from the same time last year. They're blaming it in part on how the coronavirus outbreaks was affecting sales. The Wall Street Journal says IBM's job cuts could number in the thousands. You can check out more on these stories. Log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's Rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Cigar City of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Memorial Day 2020, certainly different, unique compared to previous Memorial Days because of the Chinese Communist Party Wuhan virus. And the CCP Wuhan virus has caused us to play encore excerpts from the past 5 years of our Memorial Day observance shows from the Bad Monkey Military Bar in the Cigar City of Tampa. Every year, the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference takes place the week before Memorial Day, and we have access to incredible guests. So today, we'll play some of those encore interviews. We have Dr. Jim Mitchell, a previously unheard interview that was a podcast. We never aired it on broadcast radio. We're going to do that today. Also, Rear Admiral Brian Losey, Naval Special Warfare Command Admiral, this hour of our Memorial Day observance of the Cigar Dave Show. We heard from all these senators saying we can't do enhanced interrogation. The image that people have, certainly I had, is of Jack Bauer from the TV show 24, where he's slicing off enemy fingers, taking a knife, stabbing people in the leg, just doing things that are just way out there, and that is not the case.
No, it's a misunderstanding of how they were applied. But that's the way that most people think of it. And I think actually that mental image is what's driven a lot of the laws. You know, before I talk about how it was actually done, one of the things I'd like to say is that because of the laws that were passed in 2016 Defense Appropriations Bill, the local mall cop has more choices for how to conduct interrogations than the intelligence community. The intelligence community is limited to just what's in the Army Field Manual. And the Army Field Manual is publicly available online. It lists not only the techniques that can be used, but the thinking behind how these techniques are likely to work. You know, it's as if we're doing counter-interrogation training for the bad guys.
Right.
You know, if we make any changes, they're still required to post them for 30 days before the changes go into effect. It's crazy.
It makes no sense whatsoever. And again, you'd think that President Obama would have looked and said, wait a minute, you're not chopping off fingers and you're not stabbing guys, you're not shooting them. You know what? What you tell me, if that's just the enhanced interrogation, we're fine. He should have changed the thing.
Well, nobody, when they decided to shut down the program, Democrats and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence put out that wrong-headed and erroneous report they put out, they didn't talk to anybody in the CIA that had been part of that program. None of the directors, none of the deputy directors, none of the people who had ran the clandestine service, none of the interrogators, none of the guards, no one. And they had 5 years and $40 million to invest into looking into that. There's a second report that was put out by that same committee, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the minority report, and that report is actually, I think, accurate. It lists 18 or 19 different benefits of the enhanced interrogation program, attacks that were stopped, people that were captured. So that was good. But what happened in the enhanced interrogations is if you had done them the way that Jack Bauer did what he did, then you would really have produced false information. Because under circumstances where you put people under coercive pressure and you ask them leading questions and you demand some kind of sort of a definitive answer, you can force them to say things that aren't true. But we didn't do that. What we did was try to get information from them before the next time. And this is the conversation I would have with the person. I would say, we want information to stop operations inside the United States. We know you don't have all of it, but we know you have some of it. We know that people have moved. We know that they've dumped their computers. We know that they've changed their email addresses. So it's relatively safe for you to provide us with that kind of information. So we need you to provide us with that kind of information, and if you do, nothing bad will happen to you. So we weren't telling them what we wanted to hear. We were leaving it wide open, and then there would be a session of enhanced interrogations after which we would say, the next time we're going to ask you about this. And at some point before the next session started, they would start offering up little pieces of information. And we would always ask them, is this going to help us stop operations inside the United States? And if they said yes, nothing would happen, and we would sit there and talk with them until they began to resist again. Right? So after about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, they begin to slowly, and over a period of about 2 weeks, it got to the point where we could have a conversation like you and I are having now. They didn't tell us everything. Sometimes they lied to us. But it's foolish to think that we didn't know that they lied to us when they lied to us, because after enhanced interrogations, when you lie to me, you're nervous about it in a way that you weren't nervous about it before, right? So your body language tells me a lot more clearer that, not necessarily that they're lying, but that you're uncomfortable for some reason. And once enhanced interrogations were over, we try to put things within the context of that person's worldview. So, for example, one of the things that Abu Zubaydah said to me after enhanced interrogations, we didn't want to use enhanced interrogations on al-Nashiri. He's the guy who did the USS Cole attack, the Emir of the USS Cole attack, right, that killed 17 sailors. So we went to Abu Zubaydah, who was cooperating with us at that point, and said, honey, we don't want to use enhanced interrogations on, and he goes, oh, no, you must do this. You must do this for all the brothers. And we said, that sounds crazy to me. You're saying that we need to do this? And he said, you don't need to go. He said, if the brother provides you with information when he can continue to resist, God will punish him. He said, God does not expect me to lift cars or carry around mountains, because he knows I can't do this. So when I've resisted to the best of my ability and I'm convinced that you can force me to provide the information, I don't have to resist every time. You can just ask me the questions and I can just answer them as you have specifically worded those questions, right? And so what we very quickly did is we learned with KSM, for example, to say at some point when it looked like he was trying to figure out some way to provide just enough information to get us to stop, I said to him, Mukhtar, because he wanted to be called Mukhtar, which means the brain. I said, Mukhtar, I don't know about your God. You know, I don't claim to be an expert in Islam, but my God doesn't expect me to carry a burden that's too great for me to bear. He knows at some point I can't do that. I'm going to put it down. He said, my God feels the exact same way. And then we had a conversation, very much like we had with Abu Zubaydah, about the limits of how much he could resist. Now, this is a guy who 2 weeks earlier, when I asked him about operations inside the United States, and said, soon you will know, in this haunting kind of taunting way, who at that particular point, when I said, well, we want information to stop operations, he switched the way he was using those words, and he said, soon you're going to know, you know, meaning that he was just about at the point where he could, you know, he was ready to start talking. And in fact, he did, you know. He provided quite a bit of information that he thought we wouldn't be able to put together as well as we were able to put it together. But it was very useful. We were able to stop that second set of attacks. And Bali had a second set of catastrophic attacks planned. And KSM was funding them. Information from KSM allowed us to catch another person who allowed us to catch one of Mbali's relatives who allowed us to catch Mbali. You know, Humbali was just snatched off the street in some city, you know. And then we, from Humbali, we found out all the rest of the information, and we were able to arrest all 17 of the people they had in training. They had 17 or 18 people in training, some of them training hand-to-hand combat because they knew they were going to have to fight the passengers. They weren't going to die willingly like the, some of the others had. And they knew they were going to have to fight the pilots. They had a group of people who were going to fly the planes. And their intent was to fly airplanes into the tallest buildings in Los Angeles, Seattle,
right,
and Chicago.
Correct.
And every one of those guys was caught as a direct result of the enhanced interrogation program.
And again, we did hear about that, but those were things happening in real time as a result of the enhanced interrogation dealing with these terrorists. Jim Mitchell, Ph.D., Dr. Mitchell, author of the book Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America, interviewed 16 of the top 10 terrorists on the American Most Wanted list, all the 9/11 terrorists, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, many others, spent 22 years in the Air Force. And we are continuing our special bonus interview segment during our Memorial Day observance maneuvers from the Bad Monkey here in Ybor City, a military-themed bar during the Special Operations Forces Industry Conference going on this week in the Cigar City of Tampa. And I have to tell you, Jim, I am sitting here listening to every word that you are saying in complete, utter amazement. I'm not speechless, because that's never happened to me, but pretty close. And it is fascinating that you were there. You lived it. And so when you see these people on Capitol Hill or you hear these pundits on television, by the way, I've seen you many times on Fox News, Fox and Friends, the other Fox shows several times a week, you must look and shake your head and say, these people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Well, they might know what they were talking about if they had bothered to talk to anybody in the CIA. You know, General Michael Hayden, who was the CIA director, and
right.
The only man that's been at that time who had been both the NSA director and the CIA director, said that the liberals were entitled to their opinions about the effectiveness of the enhanced interrogation program, but they weren't entitled to their own set of facts.
Right.
And one of the things that, if you read the Senate Select Committee report from Dianne Feinstein carefully, is what she's saying is the CIA didn't have to use any information from the enhanced interrogation program. But the CIA says that's not true. It's just not true. And, in fact, in their rebuttal to her, which is available online, right, you can get the Senate Select Committee report, the minority report, and you can get the rebuttal from the CIA in a book called Rebuttal, right, along with several essays from CIA directors and other high-level people in the CIA. And read it for yourself. I say don't take my word for it. Don't take Feinstein's word for it. Read what the CIA has to say about it. Read what the Senate Select Committee minority report has to say when they lay out the specific examples of things that program helped stop.
Jim, in your assessment, would we have stopped the airplane hijacking plot from the west coast over the Pacific if you didn't have enhanced interrogation techniques?
Well, the weasel answer is it's unknowable, right? That's what a weasel would say. But in my personal opinion, we wouldn't have stopped it, because the people that we needed to stop it were stopped as a result of KSM. I can give you an example of something that Senator Feinstein's committee says doesn't count, right? We wanted to catch Hassan Gul. Hassan Gul was a protege of KSM. So we went to Abu Zubaydah, and we were getting all these intelligence requirements saying, ask Abu Zubaydah where Hassan Gul is. And we would sit down like we are with you, and we'd say, honey, where's Hassan Gul? And he'd say, oh, I don't want to tell you. I don't want to know. I don't want to speculate. And the CIA was going, go back to enhanced interrogations. Go back to enhanced interrogations. But, you know, that's not the way Dr. Jessen and I operate. We said, what is it that's making you uncomfortable with providing that information? He said, I'm afraid that what you're going to do is you're going to go there. He's not going to be there. And then you're going to blame me. You're going to say I'm lying, and then things will get worse for me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to speculate, because I have no idea where he actually is. And at that point, we said to him, how would you go about finding him? I mean, suppose I took those handcuffs off you, walked you to the door, and you had to go to wherever you thought he was, and you wanted to find him. How would you find him? He said, oh, well, that's easy. I would just go find this particular man in Pakistan. He always gets Hassan Gul's rooms. He'll know exactly where Hassan Gul is. Find that guy. He's his landlord. He can take you to that guy's apartment. And that's what they did. They went to this guy. After a little persuasion from the Pakistanis, he took them to Hassan Gul's apartment. Hassan Gul wasn't there. But you know who was there? Ramzi bin Ashiba, one of the other 9/11 plotters, right? Feinstein says that doesn't count because we didn't go there to catch bin Ashiba. We went there to catch Hassan Gul. That's the level of...
That is such warped liberal thinking. It is beyond being fathomable. And her response should have been, we don't care who you get. You're getting guys that are enemies of America. Grab them.
We got five other terrorists at the same time out of that same raid, you know. And Ramzi bin Ashiba helped us catch KSM, his uncle. I mean, not his uncle, but helped us catch KSM, you know. So... I don't know. You have to have some sort of special set of glasses to be able to look at the data as it unfolded and decide that this doesn't count, this does count.
Were you ever asked to testify in front of those committees?
No. In fact, one of the things that I did do at some point was meet with the Senate Select Committee staffers at their request prior to shutting down the program, prior to this investigation, and along with a couple of attorneys, Dr. Jessen and I answered every question they had about the program. And most of the people who were in that meeting weren't asking me questions about, you know, how many times was it legal and all this other kind of stuff. Was it effective? They wanted to know what it was like to interrogate these guys, the same thing that most people are interested in.
So the CIA today, in your estimation, is severely handicapped in their ability to get information leading to the catch and prevention of any terrorist attack. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think what makes it rougher for them is that while we're not catching people and asking and interrogating them anymore, right? At the same time, we're dialing back the kind of technical collection that we used to be able to do, the kind of surveillance that we used to be able to do after 9/11, in such a way that it makes catching people and asking them questions. Because there are things that you can get from the pocket litter a person has, or what's on their computer hard drive, or what they tell you about their intentions that you'll never get from a photograph, you know? Just never get it from a photograph.
And let me ask you that. Today, as you see President Trump, you see now that Osama bin Laden's son has come out saying that he wants to revenge the death of his father. He wants to plan another attack. Looking at that, knowing what you're telling us, knowing that the CIA is limited, that should absolutely strike fear in every single American.
Well, my thought about, I mean, I know that guy because he's been around for a long time. He was a kid. He was raised in the jihad. You know, he spent a lot of time in Iran. He was raised inside of this terror group. So he's trying to establish this brand where what he does is he uses his father as a recruiting tool to get other jihadists to join the fight. So what the difference between Al-Qaeda and ISIS is that Al-Qaeda still dreams of bringing America down using catastrophic terror attacks. And so I think with him, you have to be concerned that he's going to try to mount some kind of a catastrophic attack. You know, one of the things that KSM told me, because we were wanting to know, what were you thinking when you attacked us? I mean, what did you think America was going to do when you flew those planes into the building? And what he told me was, and Dr. Jessen, was we thought you would do what you always did. You know, we thought you would turn tail and run. In 1983, the Marine barracks in Lebanon was blown up. Reagan pulled out. He turned tail and run. You know, in 1998, two U.S. embassies were bombed in Africa. Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, right, and Nairobi, Kenya. Clinton turned it over to the FBI, fired a couple of missiles at abandoned training camps. Right. Nothing of consequence happened. You turn tail and run. We attacked the USS Cole, killed 17 sailors. You turn it over to the FBI. One of Clinton's senior statesperson says it doesn't rise to the level of requiring a military response, killing Americans. He said, so I thought you would do what you always did. I thought you would turn tail and run. And then he looks down at his That is, then he looks down and he puts his hand on his head and he looks back up at me and he says, how was I supposed to know that cowboy George Bush would say he wanted us dead or alive and invade Afghanistan to find us? That's exactly what he said.
It really is, as we look back now, unbelievable that Clinton, we had Osama bin Laden. We look at the bombings, the first few bombings of the World Trade Center, and we did nothing. And there are other people around the world saying, and I'm sure the Israelis saying, you better watch these guys. These guys are to be reckoned with. You cannot take these guys lightly. And we found out on September 11, 2001.
Yeah, there were recommendations from the intelligence organizations that they take him out, you know, before that went to Clinton that he didn't act on.
Now, in the subtitle of your book is Enhanced Interrogation, the subtitle, Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. Is there one? We all know they hate America. We all know that they think they're going to get their virgins. We all know that they think that Muhammad calls them to do this. But is there any other common denominator, common thread that you found with all these terrorists that you interrogated?
Yeah, they're all Islamists. They all believe that Western democracy and true Sharia cannot coexist. Because in a democracy, you get to vote on which laws you follow. You get to change laws.
Right.
And in their mind, everything that is acceptable was decided 1,400 years ago in the perfect words and deeds of the Prophet and in the Quran. And so in their minds, Western democracy is unclean. Our indulgences are an obscene insult to Allah and the Prophet Muhammad, and it needs to be eradicated.
Dr. Jim Mitchell, the author of the book Enhanced Interrogation, Inside the Minds and Motives of the Islamic Terrorists Trying to Destroy America. He personally interrogated 16 of the top terrorists on the American Most Wanted list, all the 9/11 terrorists, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, instrumental in preventing numerous other terrorist attacks against our homeland. Contractor with the CIA, spent 22 years in the Air Force with the towards the end of his career, Air Force Special Operations Command. And, Jim, it really has been an honor to have you. Extremely fascinating.
Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Jim Mitchell, interview extraordinaire, psychologist, interrogated Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. As you heard, no fan of Senator Dianne Feinstein, but what he did on behalf of a very grateful nation. Now, coming up, we've got Rear Admiral Brian Losee. We talked to Rear Admiral Losee, it's probably about 2-3 years ago, in charge at the time of the Navy Special Warfare Command, Navy SEALs. Fascinating conversation with him. Loves cigars. We continue our Memorial Day observance on the Cigar Dave Show.
Honoring those who gave their lives for the ideals of this great country, we proudly observe Memorial Day on the Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction, the result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your personal protection tip of the day. Use technology to reinforce your home and make it undesirable for criminals. The use of alarms, cameras, lights, and reinforced door and window locks may go a long way towards helping a would-be thief make a better decision. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name, knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Whether a soldier died in war or simply trying to preserve peace, their sacrifices should never be forgotten. We at the Cigar Dave Show are humbled by the sacrifices young men and women have made every day to preserve our freedoms. We will never forget you.
I said earlier during the special edition of the Cigar Dave Show that we have a special guest, not a special, a incredibly special guest. And I am not lying. It is my distinct honor and privilege to welcome to this special edition of the Cigar Dave Show, Rear Admiral Brian Losey, Commander, Naval Special Warfare Command, Coronado, California, one of the groups he oversees, the United States Navy SEALs. And Admiral Losey, it is an honor to have you. I appreciate you stopping by. You're in town for the Special Operations Industry Conference going on here in Tampa, of course, home to MacDill Air Force Base and Central Command Special Operations. And welcome to the Cigar City of Tampa. And you have a cigar in your hand. You're one of us.
Thanks so much, Cigar Dave. It's nice to be here.
Admiral, you've been headed...
Brian, please.
Well, I can't do that. I got to call you Admiral Brian. How's that? Your career is just absolutely incredible. I'm looking. It would take me a half an hour to go through your resume here, but I'll let you tell us about your background, how you got in the Navy, and your incredible career.
Yeah, hey, Dave, it's nothing about my career other than I've been serving with great and wonderful people for 32 years and 36 years total in the military. So. this weekend and the start of this weekend tonight is all about the service and sacrifice of the people that we all serve with that represent America. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience and to convey our appreciation for their support for all the people that have served and have sacrificed, not just those people, but also their families.
And, Admiral, I want to ask you, the U.S. Navy SEALs certainly synonymous with some incredible missions. And as you said, you serve amongst great men and women who, you know, we always say the greatest generation, World War II, but they're still here today.
Yes, they
are.
And
you see them. But tell us about what the biggest challenges you face right now. Certainly we're in a war on terror. The world is a hot spot, but tell us about the biggest challenges you face in charge of Naval Special Warfare Command.
Wow. So I think our biggest challenge really is to make sure that we're taking care of our people. Our people are the most important resource that we have. Our people are our flagship weapon system. Our people are what get the job done. So making sure that we create an environment, resource for them properly, enable them to complete their mission and serve America in the way that that America needs to be served is the biggest challenge. Making sure that that we communicate well with our superiors, with Congress, so they understand what we're trying to do, how we view the situations and the different conflict spots in the world. And then we move out and get things done. This isn't unique to the Navy SEALs. It's not unique to Special Operations or the Navy, but it is the whole of everyone who serves, whether they're in police departments, fire departments, public servants. We're all working together.
And just some of your background, Admiral Losi, you graduated, master's degree in National Security Strategy from the National War College, graduate of the Defense Language Institute, the Armed Forces Staff College, and Air Command Staff College. Your assignments have been all over the world. Deputy Commander, Naval Special Warfare Task Group, U.S. 6th Fleet, Maritime Operations Officer, Deputy Chief of Current Operations in the Joint Special Ops Command, U.S. 7th Fleet Special Warfare Officer at USS Blue Ridge, served in the Executive Office of the President as the Director of the National Security Council staff, bridging two administrations. What administrations did you serve?
I served under President Bush and President Obama at the NSC.
And that must have been a unique experience, being at the highest levels of this, not only the nation, but of what goes on in the world.
It was indeed a privilege, but very different from serving with troops.
Which did you prefer? I know the answer. I know the answer
okay,
already.
Okay, then I won't have to answer it.
With the troops.
That's pretty,
I mean, with,
yeah,
with,
of course.
With the troops. And
yeah.
So tell us your background. Tell us when you started in the Navy.
Well, I grew up in an Air Force family. My dad was a career NCO in the Air Force. My wife served in the Navy. She did 10 years as an NCO as well. I mean, we come from a service background. Both my kids serve in the United States Coast Guard today, and I'm very proud of them. I'm proud to be a part of a large organization, the Department of Defense, where we all are oriented towards the same kinds of problems. It is all about the people. The assignments, the more words you use to describe whatever as I did in the past really are kind of irrelevant. It's been serving with great people for over three decades and
well,
being led by great people, I might add.
Was there one person that was involved in leadership that had a big effect on you, a mentor, if you will?
I've had many. And in fact, I don't necessarily learn. I learn from folks junior to me as well as senior to me. Every person has something to give and something to get. And so, I could single out some individuals, but that wouldn't be fair to 32 years worth
right.
of working with great folks everywhere. Everybody's on a path of growth. There's people you change over time. I'm not the same guy. I've learned a lot of good stuff, I think, on how to take care of people. And that's been an evolutionary process. So I credit everybody that I've served with in 32 years.
Give us an idea of what an average day is like as commander of Naval Special Warfare Command. From the time you get up to the time you sleep. Because I think people would be fascinated because I'm sure you are bombarded with information nonstop.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a quick snippet of what it is that we're responsible for doing. Basically, recruit, assess, select, equip, train, certify for deployment and program for a five-year time frame, all the systems that we need to accomplish our mission on the battlefield. Again, our most important resource is our people. So how we select our folks, who we recruit, how we assess, move them into different pipelines, how we continue to evolve them into leaders and folks that can take care of larger and larger tasks, is really the coin of our realm. It is all about people. And good leadership should do more than produce an organization that's well-led. It should produce more good leaders. And that's what we're about, producing leaders.
So give us an idea of what the average day is like.
It always starts off with PT. Got to get out, get a run in, get a bike in, get a lift in.
And Coronado, California, that's not the most difficult place to really have to do it.
No, it's a wonderful place. Yeah, but, you know, every place has been has had its positive features. But I am a West Coaster at heart, and I do enjoy where we're at right now.
And you're from where originally?
Originally from Tacoma, Washington.
Oh, you're from Tacoma?
Pacific Northwest, yeah.
Excellent. Seattle, Tacoma, SeaTac area. Very nice. Been to Tacoma a couple of times. Very nice part of the country. So... what do you think, when you got the job, when you were promoted to this job, what was the biggest challenge when you walked into the office for the first time or the command?
The biggest challenge every day is to do the best that I can to make a positive difference for the folks that I serve with. You know, because of the position, I get an opportunity to influence how we're resourced, to make a difference for the folks that are on the deck plates actually doing the work. So... the work that I do is different than the work that that folks that are in contact with the enemy do, and I've never forget that everything that I do or don't do has some influence across the force. And so that's what keeps me motivated. That's our biggest challenge, and I love it.
Special guest is Rear Admiral Brian Losey, Commander, Naval Special Warfare Command, also oversees the United States Navy SEALs. Admiral, we're in a continued war on terror. It doesn't end. It's 24 hours. Your job is 24 hours. Always on call. The phone rings. You've got to be there to take it. As we look out the next couple of years, what is the biggest challenge?
I think building depth in the network, the global network that's already been established of partners, not just special operators, not just Department of Defense, but our regional and host nation military counterparts around the world. Beyond that, fitting into a whole-of-government approach as our government seeks to create conditions that produce security and stability around the world. You know, the root causes of insecurity and instability that brought us 9-1-1, if they've been mitigated at all, have only been mitigated to a certain extent. Certainly not enough to stop all the things that are going on.
Right.
Anybody can see that out there. So, again, going back to the importance of people, our ability to relate with our partners, our ability to produce effects with them, to seek understanding and recognize that sometimes we have different viewpoints. This is part of what we work into training our force. There's folks that can communicate, that can operate in small groups independently and still achieve our president's desired effects.
And I would say that being an admiral today is probably different than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago in World War II, where the enemy isn't so defined. It's not like you see them in uniform. It's different enemies around the world. And it's not where you're fighting one country or one group. This is around the world, and got to make sure we keep it off our own soil.
It is that. You know, and in fact, we still have to be able to address the worst case or the traditional case of traditional military threats of near-peer adversaries that operate in ways that we're used to from previous world wars and conflicts. But indeed, today you have groups of individuals that are not associated with nation states that are super empowered through technologies and ideologies to take actions, and it's challenging to deal with them through the normal mechanisms. And so it is a complex operating environment, one where we really haven't been able to shed some of the more traditional responsibilities. So I think the load has increased, and with that, the ability to empower and trust our people, trust the training that we give them, to go out and take care of business that needs to be done. So, you know, you have generally perhaps a view that the senior guys direct a lot of things. And I'll tell you that I spend most of my time empowering folks and providing resources so that they can get the job done, because they're in the contact patch. They're the rubber that meets the road, and that's where the business gets done.
As you know, overseeing U.S. Navy SEALs, I would assume that while you're based in Coronado, California, your job is global in nature. So wherever the SEALs are, you know where they are, you're involved.
That is, in fact, we produce a product. I'm a producer again. You know, we produce a wonderful product, I think, and it is for global utilization and for operations in a complex world.
We had a chance to talk to some other members of Special Operations and some Navy SEALs. And one of the things that's interesting, it's not just about, I said, guns and grenades. It's also humanitarian missions. That Americans, the American Armed Forces, are the first. When there's disaster, whether it's Nepal, whether it is a tsunami, whether it's an earthquake, we're front and center. That's what Americans do, and that's certainly something that I think tends to get overlooked.
That's right. Again, Dave, back to the human dimension. You know, these are people that are in these rough spots of the world. These are people, vulnerable populations that are in contact with violent extremists. We have to be able to provide more value than just security, more than just bringing guns, but we have to be able to meet basic human needs. That's not what we do as Navy SEALs, but it's what we do in coordination with the interagency and with other governmental partners, is to make sure that basic human needs are being met and humanitarian assistance is being provided and that goodwill is generated from that.
Tell us, a lot of travel involved? Are you traveling the world?
I travel as I need to. The guys doing the business and the gals doing the business are the ones that really are doing the travel. I travel as I need to gain perspective or to gain inputs on things that need to be done.
Do you get the reports from the front lines so that when things need to be changed, you want to know about them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we do.
Good news and bad news.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. There is no good news or bad news. There's only timely and accurate news that we can form solutions to.
There you go. And I know you're in town for the Special Operations Industry Conference, and we're here at the Bad Monkey, and we're commemorating Memorial Day in all those 1.3 million men and women who served in our armed forces. And I always say that you don't celebrate Memorial Day, we observe Memorial Day. And on Monday, it's imperative that we remember all those, because a lot of sacrifices that are made. And sometimes when people are out playing golf or throwing a burger on the grill, that's really not what Memorial Day is all about.
Well said, Dave. I couldn't agree with you more.
And tell us about your love of cigars. That's an easy question.
Well, I'm enjoying a cigar here at Bad Monkey.
That's right.
The proprietor of whom I've served with for three decades, and he gave over four decades of his life to serving the nation, so I can't think of a better way to observe Memorial Day, or at least the start of it, this Memorial Day weekend, than being here with you all.
And when you came in, did you ever think you'd be smoking cigars at a place called the Bad Monkey?
I had visions about doing that, and the visions were realized.
Well, I'll tell you, Major General David Scott has been a wonderful host and also served his country with distinction, as you have as well. And I cannot tell you what an honor it is and privilege to have you on today on our special Memorial Day edition. Rear Admiral Brian Losey, Commander, Naval Special Warfare Command, also oversees the U.S. Navy SEALs, and we know the outstanding work that they do, much of which we may not know, but they're always there in the background, ever-present, 24/7, 365 around the globe. Rear Admiral, pleasure having you here in the Cigar City. Enjoy those cigars. I gave you some Gurkha Classic Cigar Havana blend, so I hope wherever your travels take you, you'll enjoy it.
Thanks, Dave. And for the IG, we have to note here that the total value of those cigars is less than $20.
That's exactly correct. I got to take one back then. I will take one back, and they will be less than $20. No question.
God bless America.
Absolutely right. Rear Admiral Brian Losey, Lieutenant's, the final and concluding segment of this special Memorial Day tribute show comes your way next.
Memorial Day is a time to reflect. For those who fought for the USA and paid the ultimate price to ensure our freedom. From all of us at the Cigar Dave Show, we remember and thank you.
In 2020, we have been delivering fantastic cigars to all members of the Cigar Dave Officers Club. And for May, we've got a fantastic selection entitled the Rocky Patel Sampler. We're featuring two Rocky Patel Edges and a Rocky Patel Sungrown. First of all, the Rocky Patel Edge Light. It uses a magnificent Connecticut Ecuadorian shade-grown wrapper. It's a mild, mild, medium cigar, creamy with a little bit of sweetness. Then the Rocky Patel Edge Corojo, fuller, more personality, bold, with a wonderful Nicaraguan wrapper. And finally, the Rocky Patel Sungrown, medium in body with an Ecuadorian wrapper, Brazilian, Dominican, Nicaraguan fillers, a very balanced cigar. Become a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get three cigars shipped to you in a Cigar Dave Officers Club pouch. $22.95 per month, and you get amazing cigars. Go to CigarDave.com right now, click on Officers Club, and join the Officers Club today.
Hi, I'm Rocky Patel. After 15 years of hard work, I'd like to introduce you to the Rocky Patel 15th Anniversary Cigar made at our factory in Esteli, Nicaragua. This cigar showcases a beautiful, oily Habano wrapper from Ecuador. Fillers from Esteli, Jalapa, and Condega make up a rich, complex, spicy taste with a lot of full flavor. The Decade, another one of our masterpieces. Made in Honduras, beautiful Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper with secret fillers. It received a 95 rating, one of the highest rated cigars ever in Cigar Aficionado. This medium to full bodied cigar is rich, complex, yet elegant and well balanced. 15 years ago, they thought we'd never make it in the business. 10 years ago, they thought we'd never last. 5 years ago, they started paying attention. Now, we're right where we belong, in your hand. So enjoy the 15th anniversary and the decade these cigars will deliver.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2. Whether you're enjoying a good barbecue, hanging out with friends, or traveling this holiday weekend, remember to take time to honor and remember all those who gave their lives for the freedoms we enjoy today. At the Cigar Dave Show, we believe every day should be Memorial Day.
On Monday, Memorial Day, let me give you the proper flag etiquette. The flag should be flown at half staff from sunrise until noon only. So on Monday, Memorial Day, fly your flag at half staff from sunrise until 12 noon. Then at 12 noon, raise the flag briskly to the top of the staff until sunset in honor of our nation's battle heroes. No regulations existed for flying the flag at half staff, but in March 1, 1954, President Eisenhower issued a proclamation on the proper times. We ask that you follow that on Monday. And when you do raise it at noon, take a moment and remember all those veterans that laid down their lives for our freedom. Great story. We talked to you about a month ago about Captain, maybe longer, 6 weeks ago, Captain Tom Moore in Great Britain. 2 months ago, he became a national treasure in the UK by walking 100 laps of his garden, in front of his garden, before his 100th birthday. And at the time, his daughter challenged him just to walk a little bit, and he said, I'm going to walk for my 100th birthday 100 times. Well, the next thing you know, he said, I'm going to try to raise some money for the National Health Service in Britain. Well, he raised more than a couple of bucks. He raised almost $40 million People pledged money for every lap that he took. There was a big GoFundMe page, raised almost $40 million U.S. dollars for the National Health Service of Great Britain. Well, here's the great news, is that, number one, he's been made an honorary colonel. Two, he is going to be knighted, so he will be known as Sir Captain Colonel Tom Moore. We'll just call him Sir Colonel Tom Moore. So a long ash, snappy salute to Honorary Colonel Tom Moore. 100th birthday, raised $40 million, a national hero in Great Britain. Of course, we remember all the fallen brave of World War II and every other conflict. And appropriately, we pay tribute to this great country, America, with one of the all-time great singers, one of the all-time great songs. God Bless America with the great Kate Smith. And whenever you hear this song, I ask that you rise, hand on your heart, and let's pay tribute to America. Nobody, and I mean nobody, belts out the rendition of God Bless America better than the great and late Kate Smith. It is certainly an unusual Memorial Day weekend with the CCP Wuhan virus in our midst, but that should not stop us on Monday from properly observing Memorial Day. Cigar Dave, the General, saying, Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again, again. Screw the enemies of pleasure and screw the Chinese Communist Party and screw the CCP Wuhan virus. On Monday, I ask on behalf of a grateful nation that you remember our fallen brave. May they all rest in peace. May their memory be a blessing. God bless them all. Remember the true meaning of Memorial Day on Monday and observe our fallen brave.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. News of other states are seeing a spike in their coronavirus cases, but New York's death toll has dipped below 100 for the first time since March.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says 84 people died Friday from the coronavirus.
For me, it's just a sign that we're making real progress, and I feel good about that.
Well, that brings the death toll to more than 2,300. Cuomo says two more regions, Mid-Hudson and Long Island, are on track to reopen this week, something he attributes to New Yorkers' diligence in social distancing and mask wearing.
You look at the New York curve, you look at how low it is, you look at the number of deaths, you look at the decline, compare that with the rest of the nation, where you still see the rest of the nation's curve going up.
LA, DC, and Chicago remain persistent COVID hotspots, according to the White House Task Force. I'm Julie Walker.
Meanwhile, new coronavirus cases have dropped to zero in China, but have overwhelmed hospitals across Latin America.
The pandemic's persistence has hindered efforts to keep people safe and revive economies at the same time, disrupting the Memorial Day weekend in the U.S. and celebrations around the Muslim world marking the end of the holy month of Ramadan.
South America has become a new epicenter for the disease.
Dr. Michael Ryan is director of the World Health Organization's Emergencies Program.
We've seen many South American countries with increasing numbers of cases.
Brazil and Mexico have reported record numbers of cases and deaths. Infections have also risen in Peru, Chile, and Ecuador, where intensive care units have been swamped, though all three countries have drawn praise for imposing early business shutdowns and quarantines. I'm Sarah Bassett.
White House says President Trump and Vice President Pence will be in attendance Wednesday for the historic joint NASA SpaceX launch from Cape Canaveral in Florida. Check out more news, read more analysis, both at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. I come from the doctor's clinic this morning, 28 staples out of my knee, and I am not taking painkillers. Why? Because I don't need to. I'm taking Relief Factor. Yes, it's a triple dose, but it doesn't have any negative side effects, and I am doing just fine, thank you very much. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com, and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. That's truly remarkable, to be liberated from your pain for less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Go right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. This is your opportunity to be the next success story.
An annual veterans event in Washington, D.C. during the Memorial Day weekend hits a speed bump.
Here's a sound you won't hear in the nation's capital this Memorial Day weekend. Rolling Thunder, the motorcycle event that brings hundreds of thousands of bikers to raise awareness for veterans' issues and those who are still MIA. Because of the virus, AMVET's National Commander Jan Brown is urging people to participate in a virtual event with the hashtag Memorial Day at Home and take a solo ride of 22 miles.
22 miles is because most of you know that we still have an average of 22 veterans a day who commit suicide. You know, they may have made it back, but they're internally struggling.
Brown says Rolling to Remember will be back in D.C. next year. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
More breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. During the month of April, California's unemployment rate nearly tripled to 15.5%.
The nation's most populous state has lost more jobs in 1 month than it did during the 2.5-year housing crash a decade ago. The unemployment rate increased 10.2 percentage points since March. It's the largest one-month increase since 1976 when the state began using its current formula to measure job losses. Nationwide, the unemployment rate reached 14.7% as all 50 states plus the District of Columbia reported increased job losses. Patrick Frost reporting.
San Francisco is joining other U.S. cities in authorizing homeless tent encampments in response to the coronavirus pandemic. About 80 tents now neatly spaced out on a wide street near City Hall. The area is fenced off to outsiders. It's monitored around the clock, provides taxpayer-provided meals, showers, clean water, even trash pickup. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
7669. It's going to be a big hour as we come to you from New York, a place that has really been shut down, locked down, while the numbers go down, and it's really infuriating. Also, Chris Wallace is going to be with us shortly. Jim Rastenberger is going to be with us as well. We're a great history book, just looking back at an American you don't know enough about. I think it's time to look back at these great Americans and look at history, too, especially as we get closer and closer to Memorial Day, and so much of our success as a nation sadly had to come through war and sacrifice. So we'll do that, and we'll also talk about the president's going to be doing, going to Michigan, visiting a car plant, Ford, and talk about how they converted to help us out to ventilators, as GM did too, and also seeing that horrific flood that took place there that is really devastating that city as that oppressive governor continues to lock down a entire state when only small sections are dealing with a virus, which, by the way, is bending in the right direction, which we were told is all we had to do. So we'll talk about all that and first get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
I would love to see the release of that transcript. No defense lawyer for General Flynn has been allowed to hear the recording or see the transcript. And frankly, I would want both because I can't trust the FBI.
There we go. That is a very familiar voice, Sidney Powell. The Flynn fiasco. Susan Rice and Michael Flynn's attorney. Well, they agree on one thing. They all want to see the transcripts of the conversation between Kislyak, the ambassador to Russia, and Michael Flynn. The country needs to see it. We'll bring you what we know about the targeting of the three-star general.
Number two.
It's crazy that we let Chinese companies go public on our stock exchanges and not live up to our disclosure and our regulatory requirements. We can't let that stand. I believe this legislation is going to pass, and it's well time that it passes, too.
China moves to hit them where it hurts, their wallets. As the president goes on a Twitter spree, lamenting their lying and cheating, a bipartisan Senate bill is passed to help knock them from our stock exchange. And leaked documents show they actually have 640,000 cases. I actually think it's a lot more as they're dealing with another outbreak.
Number one.
Lockdowns don't work if there's already a lot of virus in the area, in the community, right, in the state, in the country. Over 20 states that have come out of lockdown have actually seen a decreased number of cases.
There you go. Dr. Mark Siegel, ending the shutdown. Doctors, business owners, students demanding the release of restrictions in many cases. Yet in some places, the crackdown continues and the retribution continues from governors from Murphy in New Jersey to Pritzker in Illinois. Is this really all about politics instead of the American people? Then there's this.
The Brian Kilmeade Show presents The Humble.
I was not talking about myself.
The Modest.
I think I'm an egomaniac, and I'm not.
The Unostentatious.
I think we need to go back to the oligarch intro.
Chris Wallace, oligarch.
Hey, Chris, welcome back.
Well, at least it doesn't have me calling myself the king, and it doesn't have
right,
me calling myself the receptive voice, which is so stupid. How can a voice be receptive? I just don't understand it. I've never understood it.
This is what the kids say when they get together, the teenagers, the people, the millennials, they always talk like that. And that's what I'm trying to do, try to get a younger audience.
Yeah, well, and booking me is really helping you with that.
Yes. What were you thinking? Peach, you're fired. Okay, go home.
Your target demographic.
So, Chris, you see the headlines in the New York Post. Sean had them last night, and they're out. Open up this place. You're going back on your word. You told us to bend the curve, and we have. You told us to take a pause, and we did. You told us the hospital is going to be overrun, and they weren't. You never used Javits. You never used USNS Comfort. You said you needed ventilators in emergency. We have such a surplus. We're not only sending them around the country, we're sending them around the world. Do you understand the sentiment with the New York Post today? Do you understand the sentiment with the 600 doctors who said the lockdown is causing more harm than good?
Well, I mean, look, do I think that we can, open so slowly, safely, but the idea, let's just open up the country. I mean, you're acting like this whole thing was the hoax. 90,000 people.
No, I'm not.
90,000 people have died. And you know, it's going to, according to the best estimates, by the end of August, it's going to be about 130,000. I don't consider that so great. I mean, I'm not blaming it on Trump.
Well, what's the answer? Is the answer to destroy the economy along the way? But this is not the answer. They were finding out that 87% of the people, Chris, that tested positive in New York were sheltering at home. Those are the words of Governor Cuomo. So we're killing our economy and we're getting the virus.
And the New York Times has a story today, I know, the New York Times, that says that if we had closed 1 week earlier, if we had shut down 1 week earlier in March, we would have saved 36,000 lives. I mean, you know, go ahead. Oh, people, if you don't care, go out, open up.
Can't do it. That's not my decision.
I have to laugh at a lot of people who are doing this who are completely sheltered, broadcasting from studios in their homes, writing from their apartments, who aren't sheltering, but they're saying to everybody else, go out and party, and it's like it's 1999.
See, Chris, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's because the rules of the politicians don't allow you to go to the restaurants, the bars, the hotels, the planes, in many cases, to travel. If there was a way to get in J.P. Morgan Chase, and they said we can open up the doors and we could start doing this on a major basis for non-essential workers, then you'd have a case. But right now, you can't make the rules and get mad at people for not following them. Loosen them.
You can get on an airplane tomorrow. You can go to restaurants in a lot of places in this country. You can get on a train and go someplace. Go ahead and do it. I think it's dangerous. Now, I'm fortunate enough that I'm able to do my job, my work at home. And I certainly feel for people who can't do that and have to go work, and I pay them all credit. But when I see these beaches that are crowded and people not observing social distancing or people in bars all together, honestly, I think they're damn fools. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope it turns out to be great, but I think that to act like it's all over and let's just go forget masks.
That's an extreme. No one said that, though. No one said that.
Wait a minute. That's exactly what's happening. And you know what's happening.
No.
There are big crowds in
New
York.
No.
And there are big crowds all over. There are big crowds at beaches, and there are crowds all over the place. And people are not observing it, and I hope they're okay.
I think it's a very foolish thing to do. Chris.
And I wouldn't tell my kids to do it.
There are no crowds in bars.
You didn't
There's no crowds in restaurants. There's no sporting goods stores. But we can go to Target.
You didn't see the crowds in bars in Wisconsin after they lifted the social order? You didn't see that all those people sitting there?
That was one bar. And by the way, that was a court order that said it's an illegal thing to unnecessarily oppress, or the rule wasn't constitutional. That was their deal. But when you look around and you see these guys who have put up plexiglass, have arrows on the floor, are ready to change their kitchen, change their food delivery, they're ready to go, they can't get an okay.
Did you
and then when you have Florida,
of 3,000 people in Florida,
one crowd,
Orlando, that they had to break up, do you see the people in, you know, I hate to get heated here, but do you see the people who get in fights?
Let's see, but how is Florida going, Chris? How's Florida going?
Do you say how's Texas going? How's North Dakota going?
Great.
If you look at now, there's increases in these in states or all in a lot of parts of the country. Some places it's going down. Look, I'm not rooting for failure. I'm just saying be careful. And you're seeing this. I mean, you see people that go into Targets, that go into these stores without masks, and when people tell them to put on masks, they get in fights. They have to have police come. There was a fellow in a Target. All he was doing was saying, put on a mask in a Target, and when he tried to enforce it, they threw him to the ground and broke his arm. You think that I guess you think that's okay?
Right. Do you think it's okay to take someone's livelihood away and shut down a gym when they've already cordoned off the treadmills, cordoned off the ellipticals, changed the locker rooms because one guy at a Target in a country of 330 million people, I imagine that guy's got a problem beyond that one incident in Target.
It's more than one incident, and I mean, if you watch the news, you see that it's happening in a lot of places. I'm not saying, let me be clear here, because I know that most of your audience doesn't agree with me. I'm not saying that people should be locked up, and when states reopen, but let's observe the rules. And the idea that you see this big thing in the front page of the Post, and let's just reopen. Let's reopen with carefully and safely. And you can't spin this disease. And let me tell you, if we get a second wave of this virus, and there are a lot of people, you know, you're not a scientist, I'm not a scientist, but I listen to scientists, I listen to people with facts, and they're not on the front page of the New York Post, and they're not on television, they're scientists. And they say to be careful, and I'm saying just be careful. Follow the science, follow the facts, follow the guidelines.
Right. Right. And I just know NYU, Dr. Siegel, one of 600 doctors that said the downside of staying locked up is now has been outstripped by the challenges of the virus are outstripped by the positives of ending the lockup. Here's an example of a business owner. I just texted him. I said, listen, are you open in New York? He says, no. I go, are you ready? And he said, yes. He says, I reduced capacity, credit cards only, lines to get in, everybody 6 feet apart, paper menus disposed of afterward, plastic utensils, amongst other things. Everyone wears masks. All he wants is a chance to save his business. That's all he wants. He doesn't want a favor. He doesn't want to play the PPP loan. Hasn't even applied for it yet.
You know
but
what?
He's saying,
I'm
ready
for that guy. That sounds like a guy who's following the guidelines. That's what I'm saying. I think that sounds fine.
Great. Last thing I want to talk about is what we spent the last few Sundays talking about, and that is The Last Dance. Here's a little of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. They were here. Here they are.
It's Michael Jordan talking about beating my...
Oh, yeah. Here's Jordan talking about beating Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Cut 50.
In sports, the stage is set for the Air Magic Show in the NBA Finals. Starting Sunday, it'll be Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls against Magic Johnson and the L.A. Lakers.
You know, when you're a competitor, you want to play against the best. I played against Larry, and I've always wanted to play against Mike.
Up until that point, it was a stigma that Michael Jordan, all he does is win scoring titles. He never wins championships. That was my chance to get in the category of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
And he did. What did you think of the 10-part series?
I finished the last part last night. I hope we're going to agree on this. I thought it was great. First of all, I love Michael Jordan. I covered Michael Jordan. I spent about a month on and off with the Bulls back in 97, and I even got to play horse with Michael Jordan, and I beat him. That's a long story. We'll have to have that some other time. But I love him, and I loved him in this thing. I mean, he wasn't a nice guy. He was maniacally competitive, But he was a winner, and I know there's this big debate, Kobe and LeBron. As far as I'm concerned, watching those 10 episodes, it just confirmed that this was the greatest basketball player of all time, maybe the greatest team athlete of all time.
Absolutely. We're 100%. The other thing I'm just shocked at, three stories today. Horace Grant is mad at him because he was not the snitch. Scottie Pippen says he wasn't treated well in the documentary. And Jerry Reinsdorf said, the owner of the team, Jordan never talked about keeping the team together, that he wanted to and they didn't. So first off, on Pippen, I thought Pippen was treated great.
Yeah, well, mostly there was a bad thing. The time he quit on the team, he did quit on the team. He refused to go in because the play was for Tony Kukoc to get the ball and make the shot, and not him. And he said, with 1.7 seconds left in a playoff game, no, I'm not going in. He deserved it. But no, I thought generally speaking, he was handled fine. Look, a piece like that isn't going to please everybody. And I there were negative things about Jordan, about what a tyrant he was, about the gambling, a number of things. But I thought I knew everything about Michael Jordan, and I learned a lot in that. I mean, the fact that he was calling his security guy, Gus List, at 2 in the morning and crying about his missing his father so much, I thought it was a really great piece of work, and I recommend it to everybody. Get out. Don't social distance with people and watch The Last Dance.
Yes, sir. I just can't believe, really, 20 seconds. I cannot believe they didn't do everything to keep that team together. It makes no sense. It's unprecedented.
I agree. They won six championships in 8 years, and the only 2 years they didn't were when Jordan wasn't there. And, did they deserve a chance to win? Do you really think, Reinsdorf says he didn't ever want to keep the team together. Do you really think Michael Jordan didn't want to go for a seventh? I don't believe that.
Yeah. Chris Wallace, we'll see you Fox News Sunday. It's going to be great. Thanks so much.
We had a spirited conversation, but that's what makes Always Fox great. I love you, and we'll talk next week.
And I love you, too. Back in a moment. Hey, you probably have heard hundreds of the Balance of Nature success stories that are played on the radio every day, each hour sometimes. And I want to tell you that not one of these guys are actors, these ladies are actors in their ads. They are real people who have real results, and they receive tens of thousands of success stories each year. So they share them. Their secret to real success is using real food. You can see and smell and taste the difference in the products compared to others. All their ingredients are simply fruits and vegetables. It is that simple. You know what else is great about Balance of Nature? Sometimes I'm in too much of a rush to eat great. Sometimes you don't feel like defrosting some vegetables. When you order, sometimes you forget to order some fruits and vegetables if you're having things delivered to your house. So that's why Balance of Nature is my answer. Don't wait to see what your daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping at 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code Brian, B-R-I-A-N.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
9, 10.
Honey, you have really been making the most of being at home. I haven't seen you work out this hard in years.
I feel great. And honestly, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix. That's the testosterone booster that has the TV ads with Frank the Big Herb Thomas, right?
Yeah, this is an amazing product. The patented ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass. Nugenix is a great way to boost lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Well, you are looking good and have been quite the tiger lately, too. Nugenix is definitely working for you and for me.
Yeah, and all I had to do was send them a text to get my complimentary bottle. Text BEAT to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text BEAT to 42424 right now. Text BEAT to 42424. That's BEAT to 42424.
This is Spots on Justice. A man wearing a mask enters a convenience store. If this was any other time, this would be an immediate red flag. That guy is going to rob the store. But now, stores are full of people wearing masks, protecting themselves from the coronavirus. And in some cases, police are saying, this is a perfect cover for bad guys. They can enter a store wearing a mask, and no one suspects anything until they do the robbery. And with the mask on, security cameras won't give you much information. In Santa Ana, California, bandits wearing masks recently hit a series of stores. The owner of a gas station that was robbed says someone wearing a mask, sunglasses, and a hoodie, that's a perfect script for robbers. You don't know who's walking in. And it's not just stores. A homeowner in Washington State captured video of a bandana-wearing porch pirate in action. Police say they can identify suspects in other ways, but for the robbers, it's yet another example of the new normal. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weindlum, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
When Richard Nixon resigned the presidency on August 9, 1974, Vice President Gerald Ford took the oath of office administered by Chief Justice Warren Burger in the East Room of the White House.
Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule, but there is a higher power. By whatever name, we honor him, who ordains not only righteousness but love, not only justice but mercy. As we bind up the internal wounds of Watergate, more painful and more poisonous than those of foreign wars, let us restore the golden rule to our political process, and let brotherly love purge our hearts of suspicion and of hate.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
Is the coronavirus predicted in the Bible? Is it a sign the end is near? Biblical scholar Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
I think the coronavirus today is a foreshadow. It's a frightening foreshadow of what's coming.
It's not as ominous as it sounds. Hitchcock is a pastor and professor at Dallas Theological Seminary and specializes in end times prophecies. He's written some 30 books on the subject. His latest book, Corona Crisis, Plagues, Pandemics, and the Coming Apocalypse, explains that while Jesus said there would be many natural upheavals prior to his returning, there's no definitive timetable. So a coronavirus could be just one of many signs along the road to our final destination, but it doesn't mean we can totally relax.
I think we can say at a minimum, this is a wake-up call to people of how fragile and fleeting life is, and that we need a refuge beyond ourselves.
To hear more, go to White House Faith Podcast at foxnews.com. For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
He'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
With the right restrictions, tables 6 feet apart and away from the sidewalks, masks and distancing measures for staff, and other precautions, the experts believe that these services can open at a risk comparable to other outdoor activities. A business that chooses not to follow the rules can recover from a fine. It is much more expensive to deal with being stripped of a license or forced to close.
Isn't that great? The people of Illinois can know that their governor will strip you of your license if you want to cut hair, will strip you of your license if you want to responsibly open up a restaurant. Isn't that great? J.P. Pritzker, that's what you got, Illinois. I mean, that's what you have. I think this is really going to play into the election almost as much as Donald Trump, the economy, and the pandemic coverage. Because people are going to look around and say, what was the intent to safely open up the country? What was the intent with my governor? To slow it down so the economy struggles, so we reconfigure and realign what we spend on and what we don't spend on, and where the economy will be in November when it comes to go to the voting booth. if you just look at what Nancy Pelosi put in her bill in Rescue 5 package, and then you see the way some of these governors, the governor of Pennsylvania, the governor of New Jersey, and the governor of Illinois, off the top of my head, have been acting, you wonder if there's some synergy there. And the big loser are not Democrats or Republicans. It's overall the American people. 1-866-408-7669. I'm as responsible as anyone, but I also understand what small businesses go through. And they are going down for the count. Hundreds of thousands.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
America's four-legged heroes. Hear the stories of the canine soldiers who protect our military and fight for our country and freedom.
That dog had just saved my life and the ones who are behind me.
A dog for a soldier is probably the closest you'll get to a link to home. Trust your dog. Your dog will get you through. Your dog will save lives.
Watch Hero Dogs. Available now, only on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of Pete's new book.
This is House Call for Health. Nursing homes continue to experience devastating COVID-19 outbreaks and high numbers of deaths. One estimate says as many as one-third of all COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. happen in long-term care facilities. Problems have included delays in reporting cases, lack of testing, and sometimes downplaying the seriousness of an outbreak. Nursing home operators say they've been hard-pressed to find protective gear for their staffs. And with new requirements that workers must be regularly tested, there's the issue of cost. Neil Heyman represents nursing homes in the New York area.
We don't think the facilities or the workers should pay for it. I think because it's a pandemic and because our government, both the state and the federal government, have said that this is a good idea, and we agree that the federal government should pay for this.
Federal officials say they expect more complete information on COVID-19 outbreaks at nursing homes by the end of this month. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Abby Hornacek takes off on a new adventure.
Challenge accepted.
Learning what it takes to become a fighter pilot. Join Abby as she trains, fights, and flies.
Passed out 3 times. I threw up twice. A lot of respect for these guys and gals.
Plus, go behind the scenes of the iconic fighter pilot classic.
We have the unique opportunity to go inside the real Top Gun story.
You'll want to land on Fox Nation for this one. Becoming Top Gun. Available now, only on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of Pete's new book.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1988. Jimmy Swaggart.
To my Lord and my Savior, I have sinned against you, my Lord.
I did not commit any crime.
Read my lips.
No new taxes. Poor George. He can't help it. He was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
There was a terrible explosion, and the whole sky lit up, and it was virtually raining fire.
We must never surrender. America will get better. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive.
News as it happened then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Nike makes the Dean's List for donating shoes to COVID healthcare workers on the front lines. After designing a special athletic shoe that can withstand 12-hour shifts, Nike has donated 30,000 pairs to hospitals across the United States and 2,500 pairs to hospitals in Europe. The company is also sending more than 100,000 additional apparel, including compression socks and sportswear kits, as a thank you to those going above and beyond the call of duty. The shoes are called Air Zoom Pulse and will be released in November as the first shoe designed for healthcare athletes and everyday heroes. The runners are made of a special material that's easy to wipe down and clean and designed to be worn for 12-hour shifts that include 5 miles of walking with less than an hour of sitting. Nike's nonprofit partner, Good 360, will distribute the shoes to workers in U.S. veterans hospitals as well as hard-hit health systems in Chicago, Los Angeles, Memphis, and New York City. Thank you, Nike. You made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Information you want, truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I think there's such a deep hatred of American freedom, of prosperity, of capitalism, of law-abiding bourgeois values. And the left is seizing this moment. Pelosi has a federal jailbreak provision in the recent stimulus bill that the Democrats have put out. It is truly based on hatred, I think. And also, the longer we can go on with these economic shutdowns, the more dependent citizens you create.
That is Heather McDonald. She writes a lot about this, the financial welfare of our country. And as much people respect the fact that we're going to probably hit 100,000 deaths, we also know there's a lot of people whose lives are falling apart, who the economy is crushing. And I think there's a way of fighting this being a vaccine, fighting with therapy, at the same time responsibly opening up businesses, from dry cleaners to sporting goods stores to that restaurant down the block, to the deli. The other day, we went to the cemetery, and we go to the same florist every single time before we go to the cemetery. Florist is closed. I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, the nursery's open, but the florist is closed. How does that make sense? If you were a florist, you know what they had? They had something in front that said, on honor system, slip the money through the door. Here are the flowers. All of them were fake, but they just took, there were no cameras there, this middle of nowhere. That's how desperate people are to make money and have a business, and how stupid it is, the arbitrary way in which people are shutting down businesses. Oh, don't buy from me, but go to Costco. Don't buy from me, but go to Target, which has almost everything you could possibly use, including the specialty stores down the block. Don't go to the hardware store, go to Home Depot. How is this fair? How much longer do you expect them to deal with this? And in New York, they did everything. The front page of the New York Times, yes, it's dangerous, absolutely. Yes, it's challenging with the subways and the buses and the trains, absolutely. But they got ultraviolet lights. They shut it down 2 hours a night, and they've already cleaned it. On Long Island Railroad, they're going to lessen capacity. You know why? Because they were challenged to do so. And I read earlier, if you listened to the show a half hour ago, what my friend is doing so he could open up his comedy club. And he just ran down everything that he's doing. To me, it's above and beyond, let alone his kitchen. You don't usually go to the comedy clubs for the food, but they got to make sure people can order whatever they want and feel clean. And if it's not good, the comedians are not going to come, and the people won't be there. So to me, it's not much of a difference. So I want to bring you to what's going on in Florida. In Florida, I think Ron DeSantis has 49% approval rating. They said he's letting the spring breakers go. Probably not a good idea. It wasn't. And he was very slow to shut down. It was. On purpose. And he's got a military background. He's not used to panicking under pressure, and he didn't. And then when it was time to reopen, he says, Jacksonville's no problem. I'm opening it up. I'm opening up Tallahassee. It's no problem. I've got a huge problem in Miami. It's going to stay closed. And Broward, too. But then I'm going to lift it up little by little. I'm going to move. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to move. And the numbers have rocketed down. Listen to the predictions from the media on what is going to happen in Florida. Cut three.
those numbers are going to go radically up in the coming days and weeks, because you have this governor, Ron DeSantis, this Trump mini-me.
Why did it take so long for the governor? I mean, because the science has been clear on this now for a while.
Is the governor's botched response to this outbreak?
Is he going to be forced to own whatever the consequences are in the Sunshine State?
Is he? The numbers have fallen off a cliff. There's still restrictions. Half full in some of the restaurants. Miami's just opening up. Everyone's walking around. They're making sure they're going the right way down the aisles for the most part. But their economy's beginning to stand up again. Cut four.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks, Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened.
And he was just getting wound up. Cut five.
Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, we have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption, so they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Last question.
You blame him for getting fired up? He's not having a bad day. He's actually having a good day. And he's amazed at how many people don't notice the good days, don't notice that Georgia's going well. It's not perfect. Of course not. Of course there's risk. But no one's making you take a risk. We just want to be allowed to take the risk. Is that okay? I hope so. Because so far we're seeing a lot of punishing actions by governors in New Jersey and Illinois specifically. And they're trying to do it in California. They're getting some big pushback, even from that liberal bastion. So in case you think this is politicians against citizens or business against non-business, students against teachers, it's not. 600-plus doctors signed a letter saying by waiting in place, by the elective surgeries going on hold, by people being afraid to go to emergency rooms, by people getting off beaches, the detrimental effects outstrip the shelter-in-place benefits. Dr. Mark Siegel, who signed it? Cut 12.
Lockdowns don't work if there's already a lot of virus in the area, in the community, right, in the state, in the country. J.P. Morgan came out with a study today that's really shocking. It showed that the European countries that were locked down did not do as well, have not done as well as the ones who aren't. And that applies to the United States, too, where over 20 states that have come out of lockdown have actually seen a decreased number of cases. South Dakota, which was never locked down at all, has had almost no cases over the last several days.
So here we go. You could point to, as Chris Wallace did before accurately, Wisconsin, they packed the bar. I hated that Colorado on Mother's Day packed a restaurant because it makes all of us look bad that say we can open up responsibly. What I think you got to do, and Brad Blakeman brought this up to me yesterday, since we have less seating, be responsible. Eat and go. Multiple seatings can get these restaurants standing up. Most of the damage done to the hospitality industry, people don't travel, they're not going to hotels, they're not eating out. And what happens? You get the doormen don't get tipped, the receptionists don't get tipped, the waiters don't get tipped, the food doesn't get delivered, the truck drivers are affected, the chain of food is affected. We're seeing it over and over again. But 50 states have begun to open up. And there is some good news. And I watched this last night. Larry Kudlow was desperate to get this in as Sean Hannity went to break. So use some music underneath it. So Larry Kudlow, who had to watch the best economy become the worst economy, says this is what he's seeing. Cut 16.
Reopen. Reopen safely. Wearing masks in some places is going to work. Keep an eye on the virus data. Make sure you've got testing around and take your temperature and so forth. Yeah, I agree. Reopen. I mean, the fact is, we've reopened in some way in every state right now. That's really good news. President and the vice president said that yesterday at the cabinet meeting. But here's the thing. You're actually seeing small signs of an improving economy. Small signs, to be sure. Automobile driving is up. Gas prices are up. Oil prices are up. Housing demand is up. Businesses are opening left and right.
And look, yeah, I know he's a cheerleader, he's a positive guy by nature, always was on television, always asked great questions, Larry Kudlow, but he's seeing the numbers, seeing everything tick up. When you're flat on your back and you put one hand on the ground and you start to get up, it's progress. And we were flat on our back, it was self-inflicted, it was almost a self-inflicted nuclear bomb we dropped on our country, where to preserve our health, we went away. And now we're going back in and seeing what's left. And I think time matters, days matter. Yesterday we talked to a restaurateur on the water, can't afford the rent, can't afford to shut out down for 2.5 months, can't afford to miss Memorial Day. You can write checks on an account that has no money in it, or you can give them a chance to attract customers in. I saw a stat in Texas that only 15% of the normal business in restaurants is taking place. So they opened up the restaurants in Texas, and their business is only 15% on the positive, 15% of what it was. Okay? You got to win their trust over. The Johnsons got to go home and tell the Gonzalez's is great. Everything's great. I love what they've done with the place. It's pretty safe. It's kind of fun. And then their sports bar that ends up having anarchy and watching pay-per-view and jumping all over each other. Hey, guys, don't think you should go in there. I know you're 23. You just out of school. You're done with your semester. Let's not be unreasonably risky, and that place will begin to empty out. But right now, you can't do that. In New York, people are stir-crazy. They're in tiny apartments. They go out, and now they're serving drinks to take out, and they sit around on a bench or kind of huddle in roughly the same area, and now you have these poor police officers who have to go down and tell these people who aren't breaking the law but are breaking the rules that they got to go. Just feel terrible for them. When we come back, a special treat. We take a break from the pandemic, a break from the election, a break from the Michael Flynn investigation, and we talk about something in our past we think made a real impact in who we are today. Don't move.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-223-0950.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-223-0950.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-223-0950. 1-800-223-0950.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day.
Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Bonus track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. Father's Day may be a month away, but Ozzy Osbourne's son Jack has put together a pretty sweet tribute to honor his dad, hailing his dad's work ethic, and has described the Black Sabbath icon as being in a small class of stars that includes Paul McCartney and Mick Jagger. Jack's documentary, The Nine Lives of Ozzy Osbourne, will air later this year, and in a new interview with Collider, he outlined what he hoped people would take from the production. He says his dad has always imparted a good work ethic on him, saying Ozzy always says, you show up when you've got to show up, adding his dad is the most prompt man alive. He went on to say that Ozzy has established himself as a very unique kind of entertainer during his 52 years in the spotlight, saying it's a very small class of people. When you look at his peers, Jack says he really is among the Paul McCartneys and Mick Jaggers of the world. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeBorgen with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Chef Curtis Stone. He and his wife, actress Lindsay Price, are part of Fox's Celebrity Watch Party, inviting audiences to see their TV time, though they don't get too much binge-watching in otherwise.
You know, we're homeschooling our kids, and they're right at that age where they need you on top of them the whole time. And so we're spending a ton of time with our boys, and I'm still coming to work.
As for his recommendation for an easy meal to make at home right now...
I mean, I just sort of feel like that spring salad, that quintessential fresh spring leaf, and asparagus and peas and all of those delicious greens that are so good for us, with a homemade dressing and then something that's coming off the grill. So whether it's some beautiful ribeye steaks that you slice and put over the top, or some chicken breast, or even some delicious salmon, you know, there's a lot of different ways to sort of take that. So that's kind of one of our staples. And anyone that calls me and asks, what should I feed my kids? Because I'm getting that question quite often. That's sort of my go-to because it's so easy.
Ashley DeBorgen, Fox News.
From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everyone. It's my pleasure to change gears just a little bit and bring in Jim Raslesberger. He has gotten a brand new book called Revolver, Sam Colt and the Six Shooter. That changed America. It is out next week. So I appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for joining us, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here. And of course, our two Sams, Sam Colt and Sam Houston, knew each other pretty well. So we've got lots to talk about.
Absolutely. So Sam Houston, I had a job because he wasn't a president, but people, of course, know Houston, telling people how special he was. You have a harder job, but you might have a guy that made as much, if not more, of an impact. Tell me about Samuel Colt.
Yeah, well, Colt, he was the inventor of the first revolver. This was the first practical multi-shot rapid fire firearm. Now, when I say rapid fire, it only fired five and later six bullets. But before this, guns had been single shot, meaning you fired it, then you had to reload it. It took about half a minute in the best hands to reload the gun, and which was fine in certain circumstances for armies, for example, or if you were hunting. But there were some circumstances, and particularly in Texas, where you wanted a gun that could fire more than one bullet without reloading. And that's where Sam Colt came in. And as I argue in the book, his gun really changed how the American West was opened, had a huge effect on how settlement happened in the West.
Because they would, the additional firepower gave you additional power and enabled you to take additional territory and come out on top with battles with the American Indian, come out on top.
That's what it is.
Came to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this happened. What happened in Texas? You know, the Texas Rangers were trying to fight against Comanche Indians who were raiding from the north. And before the Colt revolver came along, they were well armed. The Rangers, they had, you know, good rifles and muskets, but they had to reload. Meanwhile, the Comanche Indians were on fast Mustangs, traveling at about 20 or 30 miles an hour, firing arrows at a rate of about 20 or 30 a minute. So by the time the poor Texas Ranger reloaded his gun, he was likely to be dead. then the Colt came along, the revolver came along, and there's a famous incident that happened June 8th of 1844 where the Comanche attack, they wait for the Texas Rangers to fire, and then they come again, assuming, as always, that the Texas Rangers are going to be sitting ducks. This time, though, the Rangers bring out their Colt revolvers, and they turn the tables completely, and they really turn the tables after that. So the revolver completely changed the game when it came to interactions between white settlers and Plains Indians, particularly Indians who were on horses in the West. This was not all a wonderful story because a lot of Native Americans were unnecessarily killed, but it certainly contributed to how settlers could go out west and, you know, armed with a Colt.
How did he – so we know that you said it cost roughly $25, but out west they'd pay a lot more for that. He was a pretty rich guy, I guess, in the end, correct?
He was a very rich guy, yeah. Now, he didn't get they would pay in the California gold fields Colt revolvers, even though they would sell for $25, $30 in the east, they were selling for as much as $500 out there, which gives you a sense of how valuable they were. But, yeah, Colt had a crazy up-and-down life, sort of like Sam Houston. He started his first company when he was 21. He was rich by the age of 22, then lost everything, struggled, persevered, and then really largely because of the Texas Rangers, he got back in the business, mainly through the work of a Texas Ranger named Sam Walker. And then just as he invents this new gun, you know, the 1840s happened. You've got Manifest Destiny, the Oregon Trail, the discovery of gold. And then he's just off to the races, and he did make a ton of money.
How did he hook up with Sam Houston? How did they become friends?
The first time I can see that they met was in 1848 when Houston went to Connecticut and Colt was sort of part of his welcoming committee. But then they would meet often in Washington. I quote a letter from Sam Houston to Sam Colt, you know, telling him that he should get married because Colt, unlike Houston, was a sort of perennial bachelor, telling him to get married, also asking him for a gun. So they would see each other in Washington. Houston did a lot of lobbying on behalf of Colt, trying to get the government to buy Colt guns because Houston, being a Texan, understood how important they were. But they really, you know, again, as I say, really their relationship goes back to 1836, the spring of 1836, you know, which, of course, is, you know, what you write about so powerfully, the Alamo and then Sam Houston winning against the Mexicans. Well, that's exactly when Colt started his first factory and his very first customers were the Texans. Because, as I say, a lot of people didn't really get Colt's gun, but the Texans instantly understood how important it was in their land, in their very harsh and dangerous land. So they were his first customers, and they were customers all the way through the end.
Incredible. What led you to him?
I had written mainly about the East. I knew a lot about industrialization, and you know that's a big part of the Colt legacy is what he did for mass production, machine-made, interchangeable parts. But I, as an Easterner, I knew I wanted to write about the West and in a somewhat different way than had been written about before. And I came to understand this single device as representing more important in the,
gotcha,
the opening of the West and the industrialization of the East at the same time. And I couldn't think of any one particular object that had a greater impact on America before the Civil War, and I thought, boy, that's something, right, I got to write about. And of course, no one had written about him before. So, and he's a,
right,
he's a, just a great
Jim
character.
I'll have to hold you there. Jim Ratzenberger, thanks so, yeah, much. The name of the book is Revolver, Sam Colt and His Six Shooter That Changed America. Thanks so much. Great message, great,
thanks,
book,
Brian.
Sensational, impactful person. Thanks, Jim. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
9, 10.
Honey, you have really been making the most of being at home. I haven't seen you work out this hard in years.
I feel great. And honestly, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix. That's the testosterone booster that has the TV ads with Frank the Big Hurt Thomas, right?
Yeah, this is an amazing product. The patented ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass. Nugenix is a great way to boost lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Well, you are looking good and have been quite the tiger lately, too. Nugenix is definitely working for you and for me.
Yeah, and all I had to do was send them a text to get my complimentary bottle. Text BEAT to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text BEAT to 42424 right now. Text BEAT to 42424. That's BEAT to 42424.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Alan Lomax, who died in 2002, was an American folklorist and musicologist. Lomax was involved in the archive of folk songs at the Library of Congress and a pioneering oral historian who recorded the early story of American folk artists.
Since I was 17, that was pretty close to 18 straight years. I've been in every back alley and every little town, and I got so I wasn't feeling fresh about America. It was coming out of my ears, and I wasn't enjoying it anymore. So it seemed to me that the big problem at that time was to make the world feel like a world of various people speaking various languages, all about the same big human problem.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. It's going to be a little more normal this Memorial Day weekend.
President Trump visited one of his golf courses at the start of the Memorial Day weekend. He's urging states to reopen after the coronavirus-related lockdowns. In California, many businesses and recreational activities have reopened, but officials in Los Angeles County say they will maintain tight restrictions until July 4th.
Ken Lorman reports many Americans are still cautious as the number of confirmed cases nationwide passes 1.6 million. Rain dampened the weekend in the Northeast, where newly opened beaches had been expected to attract throngs of people. Parts of New Orleans stirring back to life, some restaurants and businesses opening for the first time in over 2 months, but some remaining closed, especially in the French Quarter. And some amusement parks like Mount Olympus in the Wisconsin Dells and Lagoon Amusement Park in Farmington, Utah, opening for the first time. Facebook sites for both parks flooded with comments from visitors who were excited to go on rides for the go-karts and the roller coasters, but some were complaining about Lagoon's policy of requiring masks. Military affairs analyst, retired Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, says the coronavirus pandemic is evidence of an emerging new Cold War between the U.S. and China. McGinnis says China's been using what he describes as wolf warrior diplomacy to gain the upper hand with the pandemic.
If you don't, you know, abide by their propaganda ideas about not being the cause or the point of the origin of the pandemic, then they're going to use their financial leverage against you.
The first five tankers loaded with gasoline sent from Iran reaching Venezuelan waters. The tanker encountered no immediate signs of U.S. interference. News and analysis, townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. During the challenging times we're all experiencing, our top priority is the health and safety of the communities we serve. And while it's true that things are changing rapidly every day, one thing that'll never change is our commitment to giving you the best mortgage experience. At Rocket Mortgage, our guiding philosophy of every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, exists for times like right now. We understand that hardships may arise, and we're prepared to help. If you currently work with us and need assistance with your mortgage, contact us 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. As we all think about ways to save money, let me remind you that mortgage rates are near historic lows. If you think right now is the right time to refinance your mortgage, our home loan experts are available to help you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at rocketmortgage.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Another study finds the malaria drugs pushed by President Trump are not effective in treating the new coronavirus and can be hazardous.
This test, reported in the journal Lancet, studied about 100,000 patients in hundreds of hospitals across the globe. One study leader, a heart specialist, says not only is there no benefit, they saw a consistent signal of harm. Researchers estimate that the death rate from using malaria drugs, chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine, is roughly 13%. That's 4% higher than patients not getting the medication. The risk of developing a serious heart rhythm problem is more than 5 times higher. Doctors say that people hospitalized with the coronavirus can't be compared to healthy people taking the drugs. President Trump this week refuted a similar study involving U.S. veterans with coronavirus. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. NASA and SpaceX urging spectators to stay home for next Wednesday's launch for safety reasons.
In ordinary times, the beaches and roads along Florida's Space Coast would be packed with hundreds of thousands of spectators eager to witness the first astronaut launch from Florida in 9 years. In the age of coronavirus, local officials and NASA are split on whether that's a good idea. Local officials are asking visitors to practice social distancing as they watch the launch of astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken on a test flight of SpaceX's Dragon Crew capsule. The flight is scheduled for next Wednesday. Patrick Frost reporting.
White House says both President Trump and Vice President Pence will be in attendance. A fire engulfed a warehouse on San Francisco's Fisherman's Wharf early Saturday, sending thick plume of smoke over the waterfront, threatening to spread to a historic World War II ship before firefighters brought flames under control. One firefighter sustained a hand injury. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Column that with the minute I saw it, Pete didn't even need me to book it. I didn't even have to request it. He booked it without me. Eli Lake wrote it. He's writes for a Bloomberg View. He just did a comprehensive look at the Michael Flynn situation and what it means. I met him, 3-star general. He's a patent type guy, just says it like it is, very blunt. I didn't know how long he was going to last with Trump. I never thought he was going to be targeted by the previous administration, but he was, in my view. And this backs it up. You'll get details, new details. And Dan Bongino, he was born with an opinion, Secret Service, former NYPD guy, extremely bright, very successful podcast. In fact, he's on it now. Don't listen because he's going to come on with me. So keep it here. Two great guests coming your way. And, of course, you, plenty of time, 1-866-408-7669. So the president's going to be in Michigan today. It's important for him, obviously. He also got jarred with this Quinnipiac poll, which is never really kind to him. But he's trailing by, what, 11 points, 9 to 11 points to Joe Biden, the worst candidate I have seen in my lifetime. In fact, before I get to the big three, Justin, play Joe Biden yesterday. Just for anyone who thinks he's getting better, this is Joe Biden yesterday.
And we're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job environment to deal farmers in on the benefits of a changing economy. This is causing great anxiety, and there's a lot we can do that related to what has already been passed with small businesses that the president just hasn't done. And look, combination of failing to move quickly.
I have more. Big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
I would love to see the release of that transcript. No defense lawyer for General Flynn has been allowed to hear the recording or see the transcript. And frankly, I would want both because I can't trust the FBI.
There you go. You got it. Flynn fiasco. We just talking about it. Susan Rice and Flynn's attorney agree on one thing. They both want the transcripts unleashed, revealed of all the conversations that they taped. And I'm pretty sure it's illegal, of Michael Flynn and Kislyak. Can we? And then make our own decision if he was selling out the country after giving 33 years of his life to his country and helping kill guys like Zarqawi? We'll bring you what we know and what we know now about the targeting of the three-star general.
Number two.
It's crazy that we let Chinese companies go public on our stock exchanges and not live up to our disclosure and our regulatory requirements. We can't let that stand. I believe this legislation is going to pass, and it's well timed that it passes, too.
There you go, Tom Cotton, China. Moves to hit them where they hurt, where they feel it, the wallet. As the president goes on a Twitter spree lamenting the lying and the cheating, a bipartisan Senate bill is passed to knock them from our stock exchange, and leaked documents show they lied, as we all thought, about the number of cases.
Number one.
Lockdowns don't work if there's already a lot of virus in the area, in the community, right, in the state, in the country. Over 20 states that have come out of lockdown have actually seen a decreased number of cases.
That is Dr. Mark Siegel, not a pundit. He studies this and knows this. He wrote a book about this, Ending the Shutdown. Doctors, business owners, and students demanding to release restrictions. Yet, in some places, the crackdown continues. Is this really about politics instead of the American people? I think yes. I fear yes. And that's what pretty much I've been getting. You come to that conclusion because there are certain governors outside a Democratic governor like Polis in Colorado, they're just sitting on their hands, taking their time opening up their economies. Why? Because they want to tell a negative economic story, because for 3 years, Donald Trump had a sensational one, and they want to make sure that doesn't change, in my opinion. I wish I didn't have to say that. But when you see guys like J.P. Pritzker cracking down on barbers and on business owners that just want to open with COVID-friendly operations and are told not, and then the headlines in the New York Post, open it up, because you went back on your word. You told us if we bent the curve, we did our social distancing, we shut down all business, hospitals wouldn't get overrun. They didn't. The ventilators wouldn't go empty. They weren't. In fact, we have plenty, and they've got plenty of hospital beds. Elective surgeries would go back. They haven't. And it was time for us to go back in a responsible way. But it's not happening. The governor here in New York City is not in New York is not doing it, and the New York City mayor is not close to doing it. In fact, he's telling everyone, you better not go to the beach. If I see you in the water, I'm pulling you out. While at the same time, he's letting our prisoners out of prison for a fear that COVID-19 will ravage Rikers Island, which, by the way, it hasn't. He continues, our governor, who is a wonderful speaker, very conversational. I love his PowerPoints, but he has totally escaped retribution for the death of almost 6,000 seniors in nursing homes for a policy that makes no sense, even from a non-expert like me, taking COVID-positive seniors and putting them back into the homes, and it just spread out there like a wildfire. Here's Governor Cuomo, though, not taking blame. Cut seven.
Anyone who wants to ask why did the state do that with COVID patients in nursing home, it's because the state followed President Trump's CDC guidance. The CDC guidance said a nursing home cannot discriminate against a COVID patient, so they should ask President Trump.
Well, number one, we try to go through the CDC guidelines. It's so convoluted. There are about 25 pages. Number two is, are you going through the letter of the law on every CDC guideline? Did you go any other? Did you bend it ever? I am sure the answer is yes, yes, and yes. Number two, there's a logic. If you have the room and you do, why would you put a COVID-positive patient in an extremely vulnerable situation back into an environment where there are extremely vulnerable people? At the very least, take responsibility. Not only does he not take responsibility, has he been lightly questioned. When he's questioned, he says, oh, here's politics. Politics? People want to know why they made the idiot decision in Pennsylvania. Almost all the casualties, two-thirds of the casualties in Pennsylvania are from seniors and bad decisions they made. The same decision the health secretary made in Pennsylvania. While her mother got a chance to go to a separate facility, every other senior went back to the senior nursing home, the senior facility, and killed people inadvertently. Here's Jonathan Swan on the mysterious approval ratings of Governor Cuomo. He's with Axios. Cut eight.
New York City in particular, New York State, is Governor Cuomo remains remarkably popular among his constituents when the death outcome in his state has been just eye-popping. That's the thing that I find really tough to explain. He's obviously been very vocal, public, you know, with these press conferences, but I wonder whether that is going to kind of match up against the outcome in New York.
Jonathan Swan weighing in. I don't get it. I think his communication skills are great. It's a great lesson for politicians. But remind, he's not that popular here. He won three elections. He's really running against no one. You know, Pataki was there, kind of petered out. Rudy Giuliani was the biggest name in New York. Governor Cuomo takes over because everyone knows his last name. For Mario Cuomo, his dad had two terms at least, I think. And now, as a communicator, acting cool under pressure, I give him high marks. Some of his decisions are not good. The casualty rate is through the roof. Preparing for this day was awful. We didn't have any PPE in New York. He didn't replenish the supply. He didn't have enough ventilators. And he leaned on the president. Was the president's response perfect? No. Were they totally ready? Absolutely not. But the numbers here are so much higher than any other city on the planet. Our mayor is out to lunch, makes decisions like we're almost never reopening. Schools are probably not going to open in the fall, and you better not go to the beach. Thanks. That's leadership. And get in line, because I know you don't have a job, so you're going to need food. I don't know where we're getting the food from. We have no money. Ask President Trump. When we come back, Eli Lake unlocks the story of Mike Flynn, how he got to where he was, and why he was indeed targeted by the previous administration and the FBI. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
I've always wanted to learn another language. But every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free.
Call 1-800-223-0950.
Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now.
Call 1-800-223-0950.
Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer.
Call 1-800-223-0950. 1-800-223-0950.
This is Fox on Justice. Pigeon Forge, Tennessee is well known as the home of Dollywood. It's also home to the Sunliner, a 1950s-themed diner. Savannah Burford worked there. One day in January, she was finishing up her shift behind the milkshake counter. The 19-year-old had asked her mom to pick her up after work. Her mom said she was nervous about a coworker who had been aggressively stalking her. According to police, Savannah came out to the parking lot where she was stabbed over and over. Her mom watched as she fell to the ground. She died. The co-worker, Gabriel Tertius, admitted to police he'd been thinking about stabbing her for a few days. The criminal case has been delayed by the pandemic, but Savannah Burford's parents are moving forward with a lawsuit. They accuse the owners of the diner of ignoring what they claim were Savannah's repeated expressions of worry about Tertius. The suit says they failed to protect her. The diner's owners have not responded. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
House call for health. If this was any other year, Memorial Day weekend means big crowds at swimming pools. With many pools reopened, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is out with guidelines to minimize the risk of COVID-19 exposure. First, wear a mask when you're lounging poolside, but remove it in the water because it could interfere with your breathing. Social distancing guidance applies in or out of the water. The CDC suggests 6-foot lane lines. Remind your kids to stay 6 feet apart from other children they don't live with, and don't share flippers, goggles, and nose clips. And guidance for lifeguards focus on the safety of the swimmers. Leave social distancing enforcement to someone else. And if a swimmer needs help, forget about social distancing. Rescuing a swimmer in trouble and, if necessary, performing mouth-to-mouth takes priority. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Joe DiMaggio was named the greatest living player in a 1969 poll of sports writers. He took the great American pastime of baseball to new heights during his career and defined the term sports hero in the 40s and 50s. Jolton Joe was known for the power of his batting. After World War II, he became a national hero, and even people who didn't like the New York Yankees liked Joe. He announced his retirement in 1952.
I said last spring, I thought this would be my last year. I wish it could have had a better year, but even if I had hit 350, this would have been my last year for me anyway. You all know I've had my share of injuries and setbacks during my career. In recent years, these have been too frequent to laugh for. When baseball is no longer fun, it's no longer a game. And so, I've played my last game of ball.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Based on your position of sort of no wrongdoing, he didn't lie, etc., that you would support releasing the entirety of the conversations that he had with Kislyak, right?
I'd love to see him. I think the reason we haven't seen him is because the word sanctions doesn't even appear in them.
That is Sidney Powell, the attorney for Michael Flynn, with Dan Abrams of Mediaite, who's also on Sirius. And he basically said, like Susan Rice wants, release the transcript of all these phone calls with Kislyak that are so damning that we got to ruin this guy's life and make sure he's not national security advisor. Eli Lake had did one of the most comprehensive looks at the takedown of Michael Flynn. The name of the title of the piece is The Railroading of Michael Flynn. It appears in Bloomberg View. Eli Lake, welcome back.
Hi, thanks so much. I should say it appears in Commentary Magazine.
Oh, my bad.
Don't worry, Eli.
If you got it. So, Eli, tell me, when did you realize it was the railroading of Michael Flynn and it wasn't Michael Flynn selling out his country?
Well, when he was forced to resign, I wrote a column defending him because I thought that the leak of his phone call to the press was really suspicious because those are intercepted phone calls with U.S. person information. They're almost rarely – it's so rare that you'd ever see anything like that leak to the press. The only time that would be equivalent was several years before it when she was a congresswoman, Jane Harman, had her communication described to a reporter who wrote, I think, for CQ at the time about her conversations with AIPAC lobbyists. And I remember at the time that that was, you know, sort of people thought, well, this is a little a bridge too far. If the government can spy on you but then selectively disclose your private conversations, it's an issue both from a civil liberties perspective. But I always thought that this the bigger point here was not Mike Flynn's civil liberties, as important as that is. It was the fact that this was really an assault on the 2016 election. I mean, Trump won that election. I believe that there was Russian interference, but it didn't invalidate the result of the election. I also thought it was legitimate to investigate if there was evidence, whether there was collusion. We know that Mueller said that there wasn't collusion, and there have been numerous problems that were found with the FBI's investigation on that. But at the time, we didn't know any of that. So to use leaks, I thought, and that was what I was basing it on at the time, to take out and to force a resignation of the incoming president's national security advisor on his, you know, third week in the job, that was, I thought, a line that was crossed. It was in some ways the abuse of very powerful investigative and surveillance powers from the state for what was clearly a political end. Now we have far more evidence after the review of U.S. Attorney Jensen and the decision to the motion of the Justice Department to drop the charges against Flynn, that the investigation against him for the serious crime that we were worried about, which was that if he was a Russian agent, witting or unwitting, had concluded in the end of December and was ready to close, and they found no evidence at all, so little evidence that they didn't even recommend interviewing him before closing that file. And the actual phone call between Flynn and Kislyak, although we have yet to see the transcript, we can surmise from his initial plea deal that he's vacated, but also from the 302 summaries of the FBI agent interview with Flynn from January 24th, 2017, that he had told the Russian ambassador not to escalate after, you know, Barack Obama yes. had kicked out 35 Russian spies and imposed some pretty mild sanctions. That right there is evidence that he was acting in America's national interest, not against it. That is exculpatory evidence in an espionage-type investigation. It is not reason to keep that right. investigation open.
Eli, let's punctuate a few things. They yeah. say this is people that don't dive into it like you and I do, but you're in another level. They'll say, well, he admitted to lying to the FBI agents. Is that true?
He did in 2017 after enormous pressure on an unrelated matter having to do with something called the Foreign Agents Registration Act in the country of Turkey. Mike Flynn did plead to one count of making false statements to the FBI. And we can get into that strategy, you know, from the Mueller prosecution. But, you know, regardless of that, when you find profound investigative and prosecutorial abuse, because a lot of this information was not shared with Flynn's defense counsel that has come out in the last month or so, then it doesn't really matter if you pled guilty. And also he now has, you know, gone to the court to reverse that plea precisely because he felt that there were so many things that he did not know about just all of these abuses and missteps and corner cutting in the investigation into him that he wanted to fight this now. And I think that, you know, that is also right within our legal system. Right. And I thought that when you look at all of the evidence, and a lot of this is evidence that was never shared with the defense counsel until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and let alone the public, then I think that when those facts are changing, you have to change your opinion on this. And unfortunately, we've seen a number of the people so invested in the initial narrative about Flynn sort of forming a kind of, you know, a wall around any kind of challenge to it. And you know, that's where I think it's unfortunate, because in order for reform to work in our society, we need both sides to sort of recognize when new facts come to light.
Eli, people point out that he went to that dinner, that RT dinner, that's a Russian television dinner, and sat next to Vladimir Putin, the beginning of the sellout of the country. He just took a fee to appear. Bill Clinton took the millions of dollars to give speeches in Russia. Jill Stein was at that table, too. I don't consider that a big deal. Did you find it was?
Well, for me, someone who, like Mike Flynn, and I say this is somebody who's had a journalistic relationship with him for a lot of years, I thought that it was inappropriate for a retired Defense Intelligence Agency director and a retired three-star general to appear at the same table as Vladimir Putin, who's our adversary. And that was in some ways a propaganda victory. And I think that you can say that I thought that showed poor judgment. It was not illegal for him to do that. And if that is the only evidence that you have that you think he might be a foreign agent, which is a really significant sort of allegation, then it doesn't prove any of that at all. But more importantly, they investigated it. If the FBI, you know, wants to investigate something and they don't get any evidence, then we have to have faith in the institution, and particularly the leader of that institution at the time, James Comey, to follow the evidence and not allow his own judgments to color the process of the investigation. And that's, I think, clearly what happened. I think that James Comey did not like the cut of Mike Flynn's jib, and he desperately tried any kind of pretext to keep that investigation open, including the invocation of a almost certainly unconstitutional law from the 18th century known as the Logan Act, which has never been successfully prosecuted and hasn't even been a prosecution since before the Civil War. And he looked into doing that. And by the way, the Logan Act predicate for the Flynn investigation is mentioned in notes from, you know, the I think deputy.
Eli, what I want to do is, I'm up against a hard break, but I want to have you back and discuss this tomorrow or next week, because you went in deeper than anybody else.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Abby Hornacek takes off on a new adventure.
Challenge accepted.
Learning what it takes to become a fighter pilot. Join Abby as she trains, fights, and flies.
Passed out three times. I threw up twice. A lot of respect for these guys, the gals.
Plus, go behind the scenes of the iconic fighter pilot classic.
We have the unique opportunity to go inside the real Top Gun story.
You'll want to land on Fox Nation for this one. Becoming Top Gun. Available now, only on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of Pete's new book.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, more than ever, it's time for us to say thank you to America's military heroes, past and present. All month long, hear stories of courage, honor, and sacrifice from the men and women who fought on the front lines and continue to keep our country safe. Fox Nation presents A Grateful Nation. Now, for a limited time, receive a free signed copy of Pete Hegseth's new book with the purchase of a one-year subscription to Fox Nation.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America Together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
The bartender came over to us and he said, "You two Marines, well, you better get your derriere back up to Camp Pendleton because you're going to war." People didn't really know what the Korean War was.
You experienced some of the worst of the war zone.
We did.
I think it's important that people hear those stories.
We're fighting for the Marine Corps, and we're also fighting to survive.
New episode of Real Marines, available now, only on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of Pete's new book.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On January 19, 1989, President Ronald Reagan bid farewell to Americans in his last address as president.
I've spoken of the Shining City all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds, living in harmony and peace. A city with pre-ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here. That's how I saw it. And see it still.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A cake shop employee that drove 2 hours to deliver a birthday cake to a family makes today's Dean's List. Every year, Terry Zimmerman has gotten an ice cream cake from Haagen-Dazs for her husband's birthday. She didn't want the pandemic to change that, and it was made possible thanks to a wonderful act of kindness from a total stranger. Terry's husband, Mark, is a pulmonologist working in the intensive care units of Overlook Morristown and the Chilton Hospital in New Jersey. When it was time to order her husband's cake, all of the Haagen-Dazs locations in New Jersey were closed due to COVID-19. She went on the company's website and found the closest open location was in Park Slope, Brooklyn. She told the woman on the phone her husband's story. The 19-year-old employee, Pharrell Seffer, told her not to worry. She would drive the cake on her own time because she appreciated the work her husband was doing. Pharrell made the 2-hour commute to deliver the cake to a complete stranger. Thank you to Pharrell, the cake shop employee, and to Terry's husband, Mark. You both made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
He'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
General Flynn was treated horribly. General Flynn was treated illegally. These people, they broke the law. They broke the law. What they've done to General Flynn should never happen. What they've done to the presidency and what they've done to this country can never be allowed to happen again to our country.
That's President of the United States taking many questions yesterday, one of which was the revelation that was discovered with the release of Susan Rice's email on a meeting they had on January 5th. Their email was done on January 20th. What I did not know, it was released, as Marco Rubio told me today, after 12, which means she was no longer in office. That is why Rick Grenell was able to dig it out as acting director of national intelligence, because it was theirs. So she filed that as if to say, someday this will come up. And I want it on record that I did everything by the book. Joining me now is Matt Whitaker. Matt has a great new book out. It's called Above the Law, the inside story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. And Matt, so much news is coming out here. I can see you have a lot to add for your paperback. He's the former acting U.S. Attorney General. Matt, welcome back.
I am so glad to be on your show, Brian, and I think I'm going to have to write a second book based on all the revelations that we're hearing just in the last couple of weeks.
So we saw this email before. First off, just to give people an idea, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but why would someone on January 20th write up a meet, like memorialize a meeting that happened on January 5th? Why would someone do that?
Yeah, well, I think the key, like you said, is the term by the book appears three times in that email, which to me, if you write an email like that, which is a complete cover your backside email, that suggests to me they weren't doing things by the book. And in fact, we know she wrote that on the 20th. We know on the 24th that Jim Comey, who was in that same meeting on January 5th, sent two FBI agents over to the White House, inconsistent with past practice, and ended up, you know, getting General Flynn in a perjury trap. And so, you know, to me, from what I can see and what I know about this case, this evidence that has been newly released and really wasn't available until this time paints a very clear picture that all of this behavior was above the law. And it's really one of the reasons that I wrote the book.
Exactly. One of the things that was unredacted, he said top secret until yesterday, was this part. Director Comey affirmed that he is proceeding by the book as it relates to law enforcement. From a national security perspective, Comey said he does have some concerns that incoming NSA Flynn is speaking frequently with the Russian ambassador, Kislyak. Comey said that it could be an issue as it relates to sharing sensitive information. President Obama asked if Comey was saying that the NSC should not pass sensitive information related to Russia to Flynn. Comey replied, potentially. Why is that top secret?
I don't know. You know, so I think it has something to do, and one of the biggest questions, as you know, Brian, has been how there was no unmasking request after the particular call between Flynn and the Russian ambassador on the 29th of December of 2016. And so, you know, there is a question is on that meeting on the 5th, how did they have all the knowledge and all the transcript of the conversation between the Russian ambassador and Flynn? And then, you know, we all also know that on the 3rd of January, Andy McCabe, another one of the bad actors that's on the cover of my book, had a conversation with the head of the National Security Division at DOJ, Mary McCourt, about this exact phone call. So there was no unmasking. He was never masked in the first place. And I think that, you know, again, I think there is something here that smells really bad. And I think as we learn more facts and we finally get to hear what these people were doing when they're under oath in front of the Senate in Lindsey Graham, I think the American people are going to think not only was this a terrible, sad chapter in our nation's history, but some of these people are sick and may have violated the law.
And do you think they began to panic when they realized Hillary Clinton was going to be president and this would be exposed? Is this part of that exposure? And again, we're guessing. You have all these years of experience and you were inside. You were on the other side of the wire. I wasn't. But is that what you do when you fear that you're about to be found out? All of a sudden, on 12 o'clock January 20th, typing up an email of your recollection of a consequential meeting that included the president, the vice president, James Comey, Sally Yates, and the subject was Michael Flynn. Is that what you do if you're panicked almost?
Yeah, it seems like either she was panicked because of the result of the election, although the election had been in November, so she had plenty of time to, you know, consider how history would review this, or she was trying to cover her tracks. And, you know, I think about that January 5th meeting, and you remember when Joe Biden was on Good Morning America the other day, I think it was last week, you know, he said, well, I didn't know about the investigation, but then, oh, I was there when they ordered the investigation. So, I mean, they're clearly the highest levels of the White House and the Department of Justice were all in sync that they were going to somehow revive this national security investigation that was going to be closed the day before this meeting. And not only did they revive it, they used it to target General Flynn. And then used it as a basis, ultimately, became the Mueller investigation and the unpredicated criminal investigation into the President of the United States, which is what I talk about in my new book.
Right. And the name of the book is Above the Law, the Inside Story of How the Justice Department Tried to Subvert President Trump. Your timing could not be better. You would think with the pandemic, why are we going to be talking about this? We're talking about this because it finally came to fruition, all this stuff, because Rick Grenell took over at DNI. And he's just doing what he should have done a long time ago, which should have been done under Coates a long time ago. But I guess he was in doubt that this was actually something. So we just described Susan Rice's actions in 2017 in her last hours on duty. She was asked in April of the same year on PBS about this allegation. It seems that Devin Nunes knew all about this. And that's what Judy Woodruff brought up to Susan Rice. Listen to this. Cut 22.
During the final days of the Obama administration, during the transition after President Trump had been elected, that he and the people around him may have been caught up in surveillance of foreign individuals and that their identities may have been disclosed. Do you know anything about this?
I know nothing about this. I really don't know to what Chairman Nunes was referring.
Now, that is a blatant lie, Matt. That is a lie. And she almost laughs it off, like, what are you talking about? That's only 3 months prior. She knows exactly what she's talking about.
No, she does. And, you know, Devin Nunes actually wrote the foreword to my book. And, you know, he has been a warrior on all of these issues. You know, he, if you remember when he wrote his memo after, you know, all of these interviews had taken place in the House Intelligence Committee, you know, the mainstream media lambasted him, you know, and tried to suggest that he was, you know, among other things, crazy in his beliefs. But at the same time, you know, he could see clear as day what they had done in this. And really, you know, it was the counterintelligence investigation was being closed and it suddenly sprung back to life like a zombie and became the Mueller investigation. And they knew there was never any evidence of collusion. There never was at that time when she wrote that memo, when they had the meeting or anything. But ultimately, that investigation became an obstruction of justice trap for people like the President of the United States, myself, and anyone that, you know, was trying to rein in or, you know, have the Mueller investigation conclude and end the national nightmare. So, you know, when we talk about by-the-book investigations, this is where, you know, Bill Barr, myself, we conducted the by-the-book investigations. And now there's finally all of these facts are being revealed as to how corrupt this whole conspiracy was with people like Susan Rice and Jim Comey, Andy McCabe and others.
So, Matt, you were chief of staff to AG Sessions, right?
Yes.
So Sessions gets shown the door after the election. You take over. When did you realize, how much did you know about the Mueller investigation? What did you do right after to update yourself with the access that Rod Rosenstein had that Sessions exonerated himself, pushed himself away from because he says he was conflicted, which is a huge mistake. So you get the job. You go over to – how do you interact with the Mueller people?
Well, so what happened was because Sessions had been recused himself, his entire staff, including me, were recused. And so when I took over the Department of Justice and therefore was now unrecused and first got read into the Mueller investigation – I was told immediately that there was no evidence of collusion, that this theory of attempted obstruction of justice was not legally valid and would not be pursued, that they were writing a report, that they were planning on charging Roger Stone with what we've seen happen to him, and that the investigation was over and that there was no real follow-up. And I, for the time that I was acting Attorney General, I was expecting the report to be delivered to me. And it just continued to drag on, to drag on, to drag on. And, you know, I talk about this chapter in my book a lot. I made sure when I took over the Department of Justice that I didn't let the Mueller investigation become the only thing that I worked on. So I brought in some key people, including the U.S. Attorney in the Eastern District of California, to be my point person to not only interact with the Mueller team and the Deputy Attorney General's team, but to also to try to, again, to try to land the plane as quickly as possible, consistent with the law and the, you know, regular order at the Department of Justice.
So, Matt, what was your thought, if you could bring me back to your mindset then? All we had was some reports about testimony behind closed doors. They were told not to really talk about what they were being asked. I remember Steve Bannon saying, man, they are relentless. And when you got behind closed doors, they were going for stuff. And I didn't know what the report was going to say. I mean, Trump would come out and say, there's nothing there. I don't get it. But there would be meetings with Don Jr. and this woman and Veliskaya. And you think to yourself, well, I wonder what they're going to find here, especially if they want to find you guilty. When you sat down, what were your thoughts as they explained to you what they had and they didn't have? Were you, at that moment, do you remember being flabbergasted that this was going on so long?
I thought it was a complete and utter waste of time. As soon as I was read into the investigation, I went back to being a private citizen and listening, you know, in 2017 before I came to the Department of Justice and listening to all these Obama officials go on TV and talk about how they had evidence. And you know, remember Adam Schiff was talking about how they had evidence. And this is one of the key things that I talk about in this new book is just how for 2+ years for $30+ million. They, you know, pursued doggedly the president and anybody surrounding him, and ultimately it was unnecessary. You know, Page and Strzok in their text messages said, you know, there was no there on the Russian collusion, you know, fable, if you will. And so, you know, I just think, you know, I remember being almost sick to my stomach when I learned that we had just gone through this 2+ years. And I knew that we had to get this report done that would say that there was no evidence of collusion. And I fully expected at the time that there was never going to be part two about the attempted obstruction of justice, because I was told to my face that that wasn't even a valid legal theory. And so, you know, from what I can tell, Brian, it's a sad chapter of American history. It's a sad chapter at the Department of Justice, and it was executed by just a few sick people. Several of them are on the cover of the book, McCabe, Comey, and Strzok.
Did Robert Mueller know what was going on? He looked totally disheveled and out of touch when we saw him. We looked at his great record in Vietnam. We saw he served for 2 presidents. He was very respected by George Bush and Barack Obama. Do you think that he was a figurehead? Was he the king of England in this?
Yeah, as I look back on the investigation and his testimony, and this is one of the things I talk about in this book, is how that hearing where Bob Mueller sat down and tried to, you know, essentially defend and explain his report, he wasn't up to it. And it's sad, because he did have a distinguished career of public service, but there is no doubt that people on his team, maybe Zebley, maybe, other individuals, were really the puppet masters ultimately in how the investigation pursued. And, you know, there's some folks that I talk about in the book that were on that team that had, like Weissman, that had a long history of sort of bending the rules and not following traditional DOJ procedures and getting overturned by the courts.
Well, the book is now out. It's interesting. It's a facet that no one else can replicate, because you were actually on the inside. Now you're on the outside, and you're able to put it in perspective as the Mueller report is out for everyone. Last question. When do you think, if sincere people investigating this knew there was no there? Sincere people, not agenda-driven people.
I really believe that what happened was is that there was no evidence that the all of the steam out of the investigation had run out. And Andy McCabe, upon the firing of Jim Comey, decided to make the president of the United States a target of an investigation without predication. And he single-handedly breathed life not only into a dying investigation that should have been closed before the administration even took over in 2017, but also caused this, you know, ongoing nightmare that we all experienced. And again, we need that. Not only it shouldn't have happened, and we need to make sure it never happens to another president, another candidate for president, or another American citizen.
Yeah. Matt Whitaker, it's all in your book, Above the Law. Matt, thanks so much.
Brian, pleasure. Thank you.
You got it. Back in a moment with your calls. 1-866-408-7669.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, you probably have heard hundreds of the Balance of Nature success stories that are played on the radio every day, each hour sometimes. And I want to tell you that not one of these guys are actors, these ladies are actors in their ads. They are real people who have real results, and they receive tens of thousands of success stories each year. So they share them. Their secret to real success is using real food. You can see and smell and taste the difference in the products compared to others. All their ingredients are simply fruits and vegetables. It is that simple. You know what else is great about Balance of Nature? Sometimes I'm in too much of a rush to eat great. Sometimes you don't feel like defrosting some vegetables. When you order, sometimes you forget to order some fruits and vegetables if you're having things delivered to your house. So that's why Balance of Nature is my answer. Don't wait to see what your daily recommended servings of fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code Brian, B-R-I-A-N.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
9, 10.
Honey, you have really been making the most of being at home. I haven't seen you work out this hard in years.
I feel great. And honestly, taking NuGenix makes a huge difference for me.
NuGenix. That's the testosterone booster that has the TV ads with Frank the Big Herb Thomas, right?
Yeah, this is an amazing product. The patented ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass. NuGenix is a great way to boost lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Well, you are looking good and have been quite the tiger lately, too. NuGenix is definitely working for you and for me.
Yeah,
and
all I had to do was send them a text to get my complimentary bottle. Text BEAT to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of NuGenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. NuGenix samples are not available in stores, so text BEAT to 42424 right now. Text BEAT to 42424. That's BEAT to 42424.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
The bartender came over to us and he said, you two Marines, well, you better get your derriere back up to Camp Pendleton because you're going to war. People didn't really know what the Korean War was.
You experienced some of the worst of the war zone.
We did.
I think it's important that people hear those stories.
We're fighting for the Marine Corps. We're also fighting to survive.
New episode of Real Marines, available now, only on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of Pete's new book.
This is the moment when America comes together.
And Fox News Channel is with you every step of the way.
There are so many uplifting stories, people helping each other.
America's best shine brightest when needed the most.
The spirit of generosity has been enormous.
We took an oath to be here for the public, so we're not going anywhere.
We are resilient. Thanks to her citizens, the America we know will come out of this stronger than ever before.
America together, on air and online, only Fox News Channel.
Witness the power of a bond as retired racehorses unite with America's military heroes.
You have a veteran being able to develop a special bond with a horse that is in need of developing a special bond with a veteran.
See their incredible journey to transform and heal.
It's that ultimate giving up of instincts.
Maybe me telling this story will help another fellow veteran.
Warrior Ranch, available now on Fox Nation. For a limited time, with the purchase of a one-year plan, receive a free signed copy of Pete's new book.
Information you want, truth you demand. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show, 1-866-408-7669. I appreciate everyone being here. Matt Whitaker's got a real interesting book. If you like this story and you want to get answers, he's got a view. He had a view of it that no one else had. Remember, Sessions recused himself, and Rod Rosenstein's not talking. Bill, listening on WABC in Brooklyn. Hey, Bill.
Good morning. China doesn't care about people. They don't care about their own people. They don't care about world opinion. The only thing they care about really is money and power. So I think we have to get them where it hurts the most, in the pocket. We got to stop importing stuff from them. Let's deal with India. Yes. There's a whole vast world of labor there we can go to. They are not our enemy. They're almost a democracy. When are we going to wake up, Brian?
I hear you. I think it's a great move, and I think America's behind it. I'd like to hear Democrats saying what they've always said in the past, and that China's the problem. And we knew that. In fact, even Senator Schumer came out and said, I kind of like President being tough on China. Joe, listen on WRCN in Long Island. Joe.
Brian, how are you? Everybody healthy?
Yep. Brian? What about you, Joe? Okay. What's on your mind?
Yeah, listen, Biden had the COVID swab test. Did you hear? They shoved the swab up his nose and the Q-tip came out his ear. The doctor said there was no brain in there. Listen, the man's deteriorating in front of the whole world. You know, he's protecting Obama's deeds. It's even more disturbing than what Tara Reid and Biden touching the little kid, Brian. I mean, it's so creepy and cringy. How can the Democrats nominate this guy? I don't see it happening.
He didn't earn it. They were scared about Bernie Sanders, so they said, what the hell? We'll cover for him. And the pandemic is actually helping him hide. But when he does show himself, he's such an embarrassment. That's why the president should not fight Obama as much as he should keep bringing up Biden. So people don't get confused and think Obama's going to be calling the shots. They're not. Brian Kilmeade Show. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. Order Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers. I'll personalize it for you for the holidays.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
9, 10.
Honey, you have really been making the most of being at home. I haven't seen you work out this hard in years.
I feel great. And honestly, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix. That's the testosterone booster that has the TV ads with Frank the Big Hurt Thomas, right?
Yeah, this is an amazing product. The patented ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass. Nugenix is a great way to boost lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Well, you are looking good and have been quite the tiger lately, too. Nugenix is definitely working for you and for me.
Yeah, and all I had to do was send them a text to get my complimentary bottle. Text BEAT to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text BEAT to 42424 right now. Text BEAT to 42424. That's BEAT to 42424.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1992.
Today, we have closed the book on apartheid, and that chapter is finally closed.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it and didn't inhale.
It's sad to see the community that I grew up in go up in flames like this. It really is.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along?
It doesn't help matters when primetime TV has Murphy Brown, a character who supposedly epitomizes today's intelligent, highly paid professional woman, mocking the importance of fathers by bearing a child alone.
It has been an honor and a privilege to come into your homes all these years and entertain you. I bid you a very heartfelt good night.
Dade County, as we know it, especially from the Kendall area south, is never going to be the same. It is fundamentally destroyed.
News as it happened then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.